Bing, there we go.
Okay, so my name is Miss Parker, and this channel is RV Project Help, and I appreciate every single one of you that are in here listening. I'm gonna read the disclaimer, and then we'll get going. The material and information contained or given on this website is for general information only. All parties on this channel are not lawyers, nor are we financial advisors. You're using this information with your own discretion. You should not rely upon the material or the information on this website as a basis for making any business decisions. While I endeavor to keep the information as up to date and correct, Project RV Help makes no representations or warranties of any kind, expressed or implied, about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, suitability, or availability with respect to the website, the information, products or services, or related graphics contained on this website or audio file for any purpose. All due diligence is the responsibility of the participant. I hate when that's done. So anyway, let's start in the beginning. There is a lot of questions. I had a lot of questions about currency. So let's go to So this is Pengo. Okay. And this one's Bolivar. We're going to talk a few minutes about currency, and then we're going to go into some other things. Zim is pretty easy to find. Okay. So we believe that there are other currencies that are going to do very well besides Zim, Dong, and Dinar. Those currencies are the Hungarian Pengo and the Venezuela Bolivar. The Bolivar is very confusing because there's actually three different types of Bolivar. For those of you that are interested, open up that PDF and you're going to see on the top line five bills, a 100 Bolivar, all the way to the fifth five Bolivar. Those are digitalis. The number to the right tells you how much they are worth. And if you count the zeros on the 14s are way, way, way higher than the zeros on the 2020 bills, which are right underneath of it. Most of you have probably seen the 1 million, which is the number one bill. The number two bill is the 500 mil, and the third bill is the 200 million. Then below that are smaller bills. The easiest way to figure out your Bolivar is to literally use this document, and that way you can print everything. You can find everything and match it to this. Up until about 2 months ago, we were not able to get any of the Bolivares Digitalis. One of those Bolivares Digitalis is bigger than a stack of millions. So if you have the smaller, the millions are smaller, a single one of those Bolivares is worth more than a whole stack. So there is a tremendous change in the value between the digitalis and the regular Bolivar. I've used three different currency sellers. My favorite currency seller, she's done selling. Her name was Tam Joy. She's unfortunately done selling. Craig from, oh God, whoever posted that, thank you. Craig from Banknote World has given me his personal phone number. If you scroll up, you'll see. Oh, here, I'll just copy it. This is his actual phone number from Banknote World. You text him, you tell him what you want, and he'll give you a price. Rosemary, you rock. Rosemary is my brand new admin. She's the one that stopped the bots or put in a bot so all the names don't show up when people join. God bless you, Rosemary. Thank you so much. So if you want, go to Banknote World, see what's on their website, and then call Craig. Tell him you're with RV Project Help, or tell him you're with Ms. Parker, and he will beat his posted rates. There's been a lot of people go back and forth with, should I order immediately, or should I order have them do the overnight, or should I wait and let them do regular shipping? It's Monday. And they are very good about regular shipping. So I would say if you're concerned about shipping at all, order tonight. And it should be at your place if you're in the United States before Friday. What we've been told is that we will have 5 to 10 days for the first group of us to RV. So your currency should get here in time. Keyword is should. I don't know. Nobody knows. None of these gurus know. If I tell you, yeah, that's, I'd be fucking lying because I don't know. My best guess is that we're going to get the RV will be announced, and then we'll have some time to set an appointment. And if you call them and tell them, hey, I've got currency that I've got coming, and it's going to be here at XYZ date, I believe they will allow you to make an appointment that fits that schedule. Okay. Now, what I'm going to post right now is all the sheets. So these are all of the tally sheets and verification sheets you might need. I don't know. Now, see, I do everything. I'm a Girl Sprout. I check everything. I want everything perfecto. So I don't know if they're going to use a bank currency verification sheet and they're going to give that to you, or if you need to have a verification sheet. With my problem with numbers, I have to have a verification sheet because I can't count well. So I'm going to print all this and take it with me, just in case I have to have it. I fill out, like, I'm looking at the Boulevard. Let's pull up the Boulevard tally sheet. If there's Boulevard that you have that's not in here, those sheets are fully changeable. You can change anything on it and add bills that you don't have, whatever. But I print one like this, and then I print one filled out. And the reason why I print both of them is because if there's a discrepancy of when they go through the dealer room machine, I don't know what it is, machine. I don't know the name of it. When it goes through that machine, it might have a hiccup. So if you know what bills you have, then you'll know where the problem is and you can go to that area faster. Some people only have 2 or 3 bills of each currency, so that won't be a problem. But for me, I have a few bills. So I want to know where the mistake is. So I print 2 of these, one that I fill out and one that's a blank so I can amend. Let's see. Save. Let's go back to file. Okay. So I asked for a friend. Banknotes. Franco, can you ask in the channel? Are you in the channel? Franco? Please go to the channel. Oh, God bless you, Brian. I knew you would know. Can you open up Brian's mic, Rose? Because Brian knows shit. He might jump in and help me. Dealer room machine. Sorry. Thank you, Brian. He wants to know, banknotes are all also accepted. 100 quintillion Chinese yellow dragon. We don't know. We don't have any idea what they're going to accept and what they're not going to accept. The best advice I can give to you is take in everything, whatever you have, everything. Now, I have some people go, everything? I've got the silver and the gold Zims that are, say 99.9 silver. And I've been told those are fake and they're just blah, blah, blah. Okay. Everything. The reason why I am saying to take in the gold and the silver bills, if you have those, is because I've heard from some of the people that the currency for the Zim, they're using a dead currency. So what they want is they want to know, did you put skin in the game? Did you buy this bill? What they're charging for those silver and gold bills right now is the price that this stuff... Franco. don't be an ass. If I sit here and text to you, then I ignore 79 people. I don't handle assholes well. Don't want to answer, don't answer. Go to another channel. There we go. So can't remember where I was at. This is the reason why I can't be interrupted. Dang it, where was I at? I totally lost it.
Bringing everything into the RV.
Oh, God bless you, whoever said that. Thank you. Bring everything into the RV, okay? Let them decide what they're going to accept. Because some of the gurus that I talked to from years ago, they said that they were told they want to make sure you're putting money in. So even if it's the gold or the silver bills, I've been told that those might be accepted. So when I first got into this, I didn't know there was gold and silver bills were different than the regular bills. So I have 10 of the gold or the silver, you know, the 99.9 silver bills. I don't know if they're real or not, but I'm taking them in anyway. I suggest you take in everything. If you have a question about it, take it in. Don't let nothing behind. Now, that might change based on the phone call that you make when you first get started. So people ask, what do I take to the RV? So what do you take to the RV? Where is that document? This project chat tonight. There we go. So this is a big question that I get asked all the time. So I wrote this document. It's called, How Should I Prepare for the RV? There are a lot of things that you need to consider, okay? And one of the things you don't want to do is you don't want to be late for the RV. You want to be on point and you want to be ready to go. So here's how you plan. You dress professionally or cleanly. Now, professionally or cleanly does not mean put on your diamonds and your glad rags. It means dress professionally. If you don't have professional dress, dress in as clean as possible clothing. There's some people we've been told that are going to RV that are homeless and they have nothing, literally have nothing. So what I do is I tell them, go get your clothes washed and take your clothes, let the cleaners press your clothes. Even if your clothes are old, torn, and in ragged shape, if you make your clothes look as best as you can make them look, that speaks volumes about your intensity and your desire to do this project. Make sure you know the location and drive there the night before. Plan appropriate measures to ensure timely arrival. If you don't know where you're going, make sure you check the time, make sure that you realize what direction the traffic is. So say you go there, you get off work and you drive over there at 8 o'clock at night and it's easy breezy to go there. Your appointment's the next day at 9 o'clock in the morning and you're in rush hour traffic. And because you don't know that at 9 o'clock in the morning, it takes 2 hours to go the 20 minutes that you drove the other way. So if you can, drive there at the exact time the day before to make sure you know where you're going and what you're doing to get there on time. Again, bring all your currencies, bonds, your EIN, your trust certificates, everything. Now let's talk about trust certificates. There is a screaming argument about the trust, okay? Do we need a trust? Do we need blah, 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 okay? I personally do not believe that we need a trust. I don't believe it. Am I going to be prepared for it? Oh, hell yes, I am. What I'm doing is I am going to take all the documents for a trust just in case I need to have, just in case I need it. Because I don't know what I'm going to need and what I'm not going to need. And the problem, if you trust the bank to do this, you might have the bank do it for you, but what they don't tell you is they, where's the states? They put themselves on as paymaster. I don't want to take the risk of not having a trust if I need one, and the bank saying, oh, we'll do a trust for you. And then they end up being your paymaster. That means they take all control of your trust away. I'm a bitch who will not give up control. So I'm taking a trust with me. I don't think I'm going to need it, but I'd rather be safe than sorry. I'd rather have it all done and not have to worry about it. So what I post up there is a cert for the trust, certification of trust, and the revocable trust in the bottom. If you have your trust done and you don't want to show them what's in the trust, all you have to take is the certification of trust to prove that you have one. You get both of those signed by a notary, and you don't even have to have it signed by a notary. You can just take this in because I believe they're going to have notary there. I went to the courthouse to get mine signed by a notary. It was like $3. You can't go to the bank and have a bank notary sign this because it's a fiduciary document. It's a money document, and they won't let their trustees sign for that. So while I absolutely believe I do not need to have a trust, I'm taking it on the off chance that I will have to have it. Okay? So if you're concerned about it, there's all the documents. Does anybody have any questions about the trust before we go any further? Does anybody have questions? Nobody has any little blue hands. Wee. Okay.
We don't want to give you the
Thank you
opportunity to not get this.
for unblocking me so I can ask a question. So, I just would like to confirm, Miss Parker, that I am to take the gold foil Zim bonds and the silver foiled Zim bonds to my appointment, that there is by chance that they are going to be redeemed. I am hearing they are, as
Carol, nobody knows if they are
these
or
are
not.
collectible. These are collectible bonds. They are valuable bonds. They are real Zim. I don't know who would go to the trouble to make counterfeit and then gold or silver plate them. So I have heard that they are good.
No, Carol, we don't know if they're good or not. That's what I'm saying. Nobody knows. And if somebody tells you they know they're good, they're lying to you because not one of us knows if they're good or not. I'm
I
saying
did have,
don't take
I
any.
gave one of them bonds to a friend who took them to the bank to ask if they are of any value. And he told me, I mean, I gave him a bond because they are very cheap to buy. And he took it to the bank to find out if it had any value. And he had said yes, that the bank said it was worth at that time, it was about 2 years ago. I'm just telling you what I was told, that the bank teller or whoever they talked to said at that time it was worth $26 million, but they could not re exchange it or redeem it at that time. It wasn't time to go. Now that's what they told me. I don't know if there's any truth to it, but I'd like to believe there are some honest people, and they told me the truth about it. I mean, they had nothing to lose and nothing to gain by asking the bank teller. This is just what they told me. So I'm hoping it's true. Anyway, that's all we can go by. Thank you for listening.
Okay. We don't know what the value is, and it's worth nothing if it cannot be redeemed. So for them to tell you or anyone that it's worth XYZ amount of money, and then they turn around and say, we can't redeem it, then it's not worth anything. We have been told by many, many people that the silver and gold certificates are not worth anything. We have also been told by people to take them in because they may be worth something. I've been doing hard research on this for at least 2.5 years, and I've never had any bank ever tell me that the 99.9 collectibles are worth millions of dollars. So I don't know where you're getting that, but that's not the information I'm getting. James, did you have a question? Is there somebody else that had their hand up and had a question?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes, James. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, so what type of trust did you have? Was it an irrevocable trust? I'm sorry, I got locked out of my phone and I tried to get back to hear what you were saying, but I missed that part about the trust.
That's okay, James. If you look on the chat channel, I posted the certification of trust for both a co-trustees, meaning you and a spouse, a single certification of trust, how to get your EIN, how to do a revocable trust for two people, and how to do a revocable trust for one person. You're going to need the states, information for which state you're in. So that document is there. And then the last document is the step-by-step instructions of trust and certificate. What you might not have heard is that I personally do not believe we need a trust. The only reason why I'm taking a trust in and going through all these hoops is because I've had clients in my professional business that needed to have a trust because the sheer amount of money they were taking into the bank. And the banks were assholes. They go, oh, here's a trust for you. We got it all written up. They didn't read the document and they didn't realize the bank put themselves as the paymaster. So basically, when he signed the document the bank provided them as a trust, he gave away all of his power to the bank, and the bank was the paymaster, and he could not get it back. So I am not willing to do that. I'm taking my own documents in. If you're told you have to do a trust, remember that this trust is temporary. Its only purpose is to get the money, okay? You're going to take these documents to a real trust lawyer, and he's going to charge you up the bazoo. I mean, a real trust is going to cost you $5,000 to $10,000. That's an ironclad revocable trust with a lawyer. This is just a very, very, very simple document, so you can get your money into it and get it out of the bank to take it to a real trust doctor, trust lawyer. Sorry about that.
Okay.
That okay. Help?
Yes. Yes, it did. And like I said, I have a couple of Zims, and I was just wondering, you were saying something about it. I know nothing about humanitarian projects. I'm understanding that it's a necessary thing that we have to do if we're trying to redeem them.
That's a great question. So let me give you a whole bunch of information. That's okay, you guys. We'll be here for questions. Don't stress. So what I have is a list of Trump's projects, okay? I know that some of the gurus are saying, oh, you can't go into a project anymore, okay? That's not true. I can't believe that's not true. Again, we're all guessing. I may be completely motherfucking wrong, okay? But we're all guessing, okay? The reason why I believe that this is not a true statement, that you can actually still do this, is I personally have been reached out to by someone from the Alliance, and I personally will be working on international and American business, technology, and agriculture. I have 9 inventions that are patented that have not been let out to the world. I have 5 agricultural products that UC Davis and 3 other ag schools have said will change the way farming is done forever once these projects come to the world. So I know for a fact, personally know for a fact, that the EOs that Trump wrote, there is going to be white hats working in all these different areas. So hang on, Mr. Jones, we'll get there. Folks, I have a disability that has to do with focusing. So please, please, if you want to ask questions, please put your hand up in here, okay? Because if I go back and forth, I'm going to lose my spot. I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can, but I do have a little bit of a disability. So with this being said, that's if you have Zim and you do not want to do a project, but you want a higher rate, you can donate to one of these 15 categories and then you can get the higher rate. If you don't want to do anything, I just want to get the money and run, you can. That's what I've been told from many different gurus. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. None of us know. I'm just giving you the best information, the best guess I have based on talking to a bunch of different people in this thing. So, okay. So if you want to do a project and you want to have a family, let me see if this is a good one. You want to have a family governance, okay? This is a clean, clear family trust, okay? This document I'm posting right now.
Okay.
And then this, that's that. Let me go get another project so you can see this other's projects. Clean, let me see this one open. Nope, that was not a clean one. Okay, let's see. Open. Okay, that's the one. This is a sample document of how I write my documents. Okay?
Okay. Yes.
This document that I'm posting next, this is the outline, okay? So here's how you use all these documents. Take this first document, take the humanitarian project and open that up. Everything in that project is in red, okay? All of the areas of that document are asking you questions. So in the beginning of that document, this XTZ humanitarian project, that's where that first bit goes. So where it says feed the world, clean copy, you could literally paste that in as your XTZ humanitarian project, okay? And then the family governance project, the sample of that is the Clean Clear Family Trust. Now, if you open up the Clean Clear Family Trust, you're looking at it's like it's just nothing but numbers. Mm-hmm. What you're doing is that first paragraph, okay? You're going to write four sentences, two in each paragraph. So what do we write? Well, what you're trying to do with this document and what you want to do with this document is you want them to listen to you and then put down that document. That's what you're trying to do, is you want them to listen to you. So the faster you can get them to put down that document, the better it is for you. So there's information that they want to know. That information is, how much are you going to spend? How many people are you going to hire? And how many years long is your project? Okay. The most important thing on your family governance project is to tell them over and over and over that this is a multi-generational project. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. How that there's an audio that I have done already that you can hear about it, but in a nutshell, what you want to write in those first two paragraphs, three paragraphs, is you want to use the words different versions of multi-generational. So what I'm going to read to you next literally is word for word on the top of my trust. It says, as I plan my multi-generational humanitarian project, I realized I needed a plan to take care of my family while taking care of the world. The development of a family governance system became a critical component of my family's plan for managing its wealth for the succeeding generations. we want to hammer in this topic, this document, multi-generation, multi-generation, multi-generation. So my first, the first one, two, three, four, fifth word in, as I plan my multi-generational, multi-generational, multiple years. The last sentence says succeeding generations, which is another fancy ass word for saying multi-generational. Okay. The next paragraph starts out, I need a structure that's inclusive enough to serve the current generation and flexible enough for the needs of future generation that can position my family to thrive now and in the future. What have I done? Current and future, multi-generation. The last sentence in the second paragraph is, I wanted my family governance project to also be used as a philanthropic vehicle to help preserve the giving aspect of our family projects in a multi-generational fashion. All you're doing is word crafting, okay?
Right.
You're showing the importance of this being a multi-generational project. If you have a project that is tied to your family governance, you give that to them at the same time you give them this document, okay?
Okay. Is there a way that I could speak to you beyond this call here? And like send you my number or something?
I can tell you the truth or I can lie to you. Which would you like?
Okay. No problem.
You can send me a message and give me your information and I will try to get back to you, but sometimes I suck. So if you don't hear back from me, just keep trying. But you're, by all means, you can send me information. Send me a text in dark DM.
Okay, I realize it's not your phone. So, I mean, I was like, do I send it now or wait to you on another call?
It's up to you, sir.
Okay.
I can't answer you right now. I got a whole group of people listening.
Right, I got you. I know. I understand. But thank you. You've been great.
You're welcome.
Parker?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a moment to give me a call?
Very, very
important.
Hang on, folks. Give me 5 minutes, please, or 2 minutes. Teenage Witch is one of my admins on the other channel. So if you'll just hold on just a minute, please.
Sorry, guys.
No, hang on. Any excuse to play reggae music? Whee! So let me play a song for you.
I'm so happy you're with me, and I knew you were the one. It was just like my dream. And I said, baby, I love you. And I need it from my heart. No
Thank you.
When all you need to yes, you can no longer go and to let it go. You my darling angel, yes you are. Every day, girl, you got to know. It's not you, the love. Cause when my world seems to come tumbling down, I look forward to seeing your face. If the grief be your heart, cause no one can take your place. You're my darling angel, yes you are. But I don't know that baby.
How can you not love the rebel soldiers? Okay, so I'm sorry, we had to just, yeah, we were on a little bit of a break. I had to take a call. So there we go. Okay. What document are you asking for? What documents are you guys asking for? Is Lisa in here? Lisa, you should be an admin. Lisa, I don't see you. Are you in here? Can you make your hand do the blue thingy, jumpy down, up and down thing? Which documents are you looking for, folks? Are you looking? Somebody is asking for documents, but I don't know what documents you're looking for.
I need a phone number to be contacted.
You need a phone number to be contacted for what?
For the redemption. I mean, how do we get contacted or notified when to go to an appointment?
The 800 numbers will come out. They'll be on my channel. They'll be on many of the Patriots channels. And you call that 800 number, and they're going to ask you some questions to verify who you are. And then you're going to get your own 800 number that you call, and you'll go from there.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Well, that's so easy.
Who is asking for documents? Okay, I saw you, Lisa. I'm sorry. The one I'm talking about.
The one you're talking about.
Rita, are you there?
Your generational document.
My multi-generational. That is what I was talking about, is the Clean, Clear Family Trust. That's the family trust document that it says, on the top of it, it says the background. Here, let me repost it. This is the document I'm talking about. This is the family trust document. That's the one that you want to have. You want to have, when you open that document up, it's going to look like, you're welcome. It's going to look like just a bunch of information. So on the CC doc, no, it doesn't have the verbiage. Ah, okay. The reason being is on the Clean Clear document, I actually was reading my own document. I don't want you to use my words. What I'm doing is I'm telling you how to write about your document. So when you do your clean, I'm sorry, I was really, really confusing. I realized how freaking confusing it was. So when you write your document, you're going to do your family trust, okay? You're going to have a project that is, that you're going to do your, you're going to put the outline of your family trust. forward, you're going to put the outline of your family trust on the second part of this document. Okay? On the second part of this document, it's going to say family trust. You can literally take this whole thing and copy it and replace it with everything on the second part of that document. All you have to do is put in, you're introducing your family project and focus on the project being multi-generational. You don't want to write no more than four sentences, two sentences in each paragraph. So what I was doing is I was reading to you what was in my document. Make sense? Okay. Then you explain your vision as to why you want a family trust. Okay. You want to meet the needs of your family. Ta-da! Simple. So when you write your document out, on the mission, on that family trust, on that sample, it refers to your big project. My big project is I want to feed the world. So my goals, so it says, after achieving my goals of developing the Parker Potts and sending them to the world to help feed the world, it's my life's purpose to make sure that every family member and people important to me receive the blessing that they need to help themselves. Any reason you want, okay? When you write objectives, there's an audio called the family governance audio. If I don't have it, I'll do that audio again. I'll remake that audio tomorrow night. And I'll go through this exact document and I'll write and I'll explain what the expected expenses are and how I filled out those numbers and give you all of that information. I'll redo this audio for you guys tomorrow night, okay? So that you understand how to fill this out. This makes it super simple, okay? And it's, you want quick. You want them to put this document down. You don't want them to be reading it, because how they feel about you, whether they believe you're going to do the right thing or not, that has to come through. And if you're just doing nothing but reading the document, they don't get to, quote, see you, unquote, as a person. They just listen to you read. And there's no reason to do that when they can actually get to know you by having you communicate one-on-one. So that's the information I wanted to quickly go over with the family trust. So let's go back to Bolivar's gone. Okay. So how do you dress? A lot of people they want to dress in their glad rags. They want to be the fanciest things that you can do. Okay. You don't want to do that. Here, I'm going to post this document again. This is what you need, how to prepare for the RV. This is what you want. Oh, shoot, I closed the chat window. Prepare for the RV. This is the information that tells you what you want to do, okay? I encourage you to practice doing your RV, practice giving your speech in the bathroom mirror. I know it sounds ridiculous. Practice giving your speech in the bathroom mirror, and walk into the bathroom, head up, smile on your face, feel confidence in your heart, and put your hand up. See what you look like in the mirror. Okay. Adjust yourself. Okay. Be the best you can be, but don't be ostentatious. This is not the time to wear that 20 carat ring. Okay. This is not the time to wear the $30,000, you know, Jordache jacket or whatever high-end brands. That's not the time. You want to look professional. Hair nice and nice. Some of my friends in Hawaii, they're saying they're going to go in board shorts. That's up to you. I believe that the impression that you want to make is that you're serious about your project and you want to do your project. So be on point. So you're going to walk into the appointment. We've been told, I've heard this from multiple gurus, that they're going to identify yourself and then they want to get your information sheet and they show your identity and your address information. I don't think that's true anymore. I think that you're not going to have a background information sheet, because in these day and age, as soon as they put your name into the computer, all your information is going to come up on you. I am not taking a background information sheet in. I'm just going to show my identity. Every single guru I've talked to says that they are going to show you a 3 to 10 minute video that explains the processes that you're going to go through when you go through your RV. You're going to be escorted to your meeting. You guys can read the rest of this document. It's very simple to read, okay? Let's go to a different part of this. This document is really important. Is this the right one? Okay, so hang on. Before we get to the important one, I want to show you guys something else. I do a whole topic about safety and a whole topic about security. If you haven't heard that audio, you really need to do it, because when you go from a net worth of a couple hundred thousand dollars to a couple hundred million, you need security in ways that you haven't even considered. So there, I do have an audio about security. I highly, highly, highly encourage you to listen to it. I've had a security staff before. I've had a security team before. And there's a lot of mistakes you can make when you hire security. And there's a lot of things that you can do right. So I urge you to please listen to that audio. Because I've urged people to listen to that audio, when I tell them about this project, they go, "God, we don't want to know about it." So I'm going to show you another document that you may want to do or you may not want to do. I am inviting, my original channel was 911 Project Help. I now have 3 channels. And what I'm doing is I am inviting channel members on all of these channels where I've helped you with your documents to be a part of a documentary film about humanitarians. I really believe that when this is all over with, 90% or more of Hollywood is going to be arrested. And we're going to need films and movies again, real good, feel-good programming. So I believe that when this all happens, the rest of the world is going to want to know, how did normal people ante up and become humanitarians? What did they go through? This is a documentary that we're going to film. We're going to do 12 episodes, and we're going to talk about, we're going to show people what happened to us, the humanitarians. If you're interested in doing this, please read this document, okay? We don't want anybody to get in trouble with their RV. We don't want anybody to get in trouble with their NDAs. So if you decide that you want to do this, I'll explain SKR in just a second. If this is something you want to do, then when you call your 800 number, you want to ask this. You want to actually read this exact top of the document. When you call for your 800 number and your appointment, print this document out and have it there before you call. Go down to the area where it says, tell them the bond currency, but not the amount. If you have more different types of currencies that's in this list, write the kind of currencies you have in there. Add your extra currencies in there. Many of these websites are going to post the different 800 numbers of your 1-800 number of where to call to get your RV number and information. When you call that 800 number, I want you to say, I'm calling to schedule a foreign currency exchange. I would like to participate in a documentary about the humanitarian projects about to be unleashed. I am filming my side of our conversation now for this documentary. I understand that I will be required to sign an NDA. Will filming these conversations before and after the NDA and not showing them to anyone until after the NDA is over violate my NDA? If they tell you yes, it will violate your NDA, then don't film anymore. Write notes to yourself so that you can film these things later. And then tell them your name, your zip code, what area you want to zip RV in, and write down your important information, your appointment information, your time and location. If you have zero interest in being in the RV of the documentary, use this document. And all you have to say is calling to schedule foreign currency exchange. That's all you have to say. If you don't want to be involved in the 911 Project Help documentary, there's zero push to do it. If you want to be involved in the 911 Project documentary and you're not comfortable with being on camera, we will hire actors and actresses to do your position, do your project, okay? Every single person that says they want to be involved in this will be interviewed, and they will be in this film someplace if you want to do it. If you don't want to do it, that's perfectly fine as well. There are steps in here that you do before the RV. There's multiple questions in here. These questions are going to be part of the B-roll, which is information used for cut-ins and cut-outs of the movies, okay? And then when you get your 800 number, it says the information that you're supposed to give them. And then again, if they say this will violate your NDA, do nothing until after your NDA is over. There are four sets of questions, four dates that you will ask yourself the exact same questions, because as you go on this path, your life is going to change dramatically. And that's what we want the American public to see. We want the American public to see how normal John Doe's, Jane Doe's, decided to change their entire life and become a humanitarian. Investing in currency and trusting the plan and trusting Trump and trusting our nation to go forward with this RV. So if that's something you want to be involved in, by all means, you're welcome to do so. If you have no interest whatsoever, that's okay too. Totally fine. So there's the RV and the currency. Okay. One of the questions I get a lot is, I have people in my family that I want to bless with currency, a job, whatever, and they think I'm crazy. So how do I add them into my project? Well, I've got a daughter who thinks her mother is crazy, and that she decided that, they did an intervention on Christmas Day, for God's sakes, and they wanted me to go talk to a counselor because Trump is not our president, and all this currency money is just draining your money account, mom, blah, blah, blah. So that interaction did a lot of damage to my relationship with my daughter, between myself and her and I. I have a lot of ill will towards her, and I'm new in following God, and I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And, but I'm also an outlaw, so there's parts of me that are still a little salty. I have not been allowed to see my grandchildren in a year and a half because of COVID. So yeah, I'm really, really salty. So what I'm going to do is, and this goes for, some of you may have family members that are drunks. Some of you may have family members that are taking illegal drugs. Cannabis is not an illegal drug, it's a medicine. And you want to protect those people from themselves. And you don't want the fight over the money. So what I'm going to do, I highly suggest you listen and do the same thing if you got one of those problem children in your life. Get your lawyer, because you're going to end up with a lawyer. Get your lawyer and explain to your lawyer, look, I'm just going to use my dumbass daughter as a example. My daughter lives in Washington, D.C. She does not believe this is happening. I know that she wants to have a little gallery where she sells her jewelry. So I would like to set up a company that she can sell her jewelry, and a percentage of those profits go to a humanitarian project, and she gets paid a salary for doing her own jewelry, and you know, that's going to be her humanitarian project. I don't know how we're going to write it up. She gets $5 million a year. And if I get to see my grandchildren on the weekends, she gets paid that week. If my grandchildren are denied to me, she doesn't get paid that week. Not only does she doesn't get paid that week, but the first salary that she would have gotten, I will donate to whatever charity she wants. So in that first meeting with my daughter again, I'm going to say, what's your favorite charity? And whatever she tells me, that's great. I'm going to send a receipt to her every time I send charity money to her, to the charity, because I want her to know that I'm still going to pay out. If it's you or the charity, I don't care. By doing this, it stops the war and stops continuing the hurtful feelings that you may have with family members because they did not treat you well. There's going to be people that you want to bless and they think you're crazy because they think, you know, Biden is president. So what you're going to do is you're going to set those people up with a lawyer. You're going to tell the lawyer this and this and this is how this is set up. You tell the child or the family member that's a drunk or an addict, you say, you don't talk to me about money. The lawyer controls your trust. And if the lawyer says, do this and do that, and you don't do it, then the lawyer's going to be responsible to send the check off to your charity. Okay? By doing it that way, there's no more fighting with you and that relative. That's out of your hands. You don't want it to be in your hands. You want them to be pissed off at the lawyer. The next thing you do is you tell that errant child or errant relative, the lawyer only is paid for 3 hours a week. So if you have more questions for the lawyer than 3 hours a week, you're just going to have to wait till the next week. I believe that it's going to take my daughter 2 or 3 weeks of not getting checks before she starts to let me see my grandchildren, if not sooner. Once they see the money being paid to their charity and not to them, that's a really good carrot. Thank you, Mark. That's a really good carrot to get the person in your family to straighten up. Because you're not wanting them to do bad things. You're wanting them to be responsible, have some responsibility, and take action and take responsibility for your actions. Let's talk about homes and houses and cars and all this other shit. Everybody is planning on buying, oh, I'm going to buy my brother a new house. I'm going to buy my sister a new house. I'm going to buy my mom a house. A house for you, a house for you, a car for you. Okay, wait a minute. I've been very wealthy before. I've had pick your house color wealth. Okay. And I was a humanitarian before I even knew what the word was. Because if I had an employee that was going to be a long-term employee, I purchased a home for them and I gave them the house. Granted, these were two-bedroom, one-bath house. These are just basic starter houses. So back then, that was maybe $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 a house. Wasn't a lot of money then. But I learned a horrible lesson. I had this one employee. I'm not naming names, so I can't be sued. I had this one employee who I gave a little bit larger house to because she had five fucking kids. Five kids. God bless her. Five kids, okay? So I gave her a three-bedroom, two-bath house. And I gave it to her. I just signed it off. And she'd been working for me for, 7 or 8 years by that time. And her son was getting some big fancy award. He was a junior in high school at that time. He's getting some big fancy award. And she said, hey, would you mind coming to this event at school? And I said, oh, hell yeah. So I go to the event and something happened with her husband. She had to go pick up her husband. Her son says to me, "Who?" I know the kid because we have bring your kids to work day and I'm a weird boss. Anyway, so I knew the kid and he goes, I forgot my uniform. And I was like, okay, do you want to go back to the house and get it? She goes, yeah, I got to have it. So I said, come on, let's go. So jump the kid in my truck. We go to the house and he opens the door and I about passed out. This woman was a hoarder. I had no idea. And she was a cat lady. She had probably 10 or 15 cats come boiling out of the house when this kid opened the door. The smell of urine and cat shit was like a wave of filth going up my nose. It was, I just reached almost, oh God, it was awful. And then I look in the house and she's got all of her clothes. She's got clothes that are rolled up and stacked. So there's clothes rolled and stacked about 3 foot high up on the wall. There's a path to walk from the hallway, from the door into the kitchen. In the kitchen is a cat box that is overflowing and cat shit is on the floor. And you're literally walking on cat shit and the little pellets, you know, whatever the hell that stuff is called. And the dishes are in the sink and they're molded and it is a friggin' mess. There's so much cat urine on the carpets that there were areas where you would walk and it would squish from the liquid. Okay. I was horrified. So I couldn't even hardly think the entire event. I can't even remember what the event was because the smell of that house just was like horrendous. So after her son's event the next day, I said, hey, I need to see you. And I said, you need counseling. You need counseling and you need to clean up that house and, you know, blah, 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 blah. She looked at me and she said, I quit. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. You're not going to quit. I just gave you, you know, I gave you a house. What the hell you mean you're going to quit? Called my lawyer. I really couldn't do anything about it. And then I got mad. never make a redhead mad. It's never good for you. So I called the county health inspector and I told them what I saw. And they gave her days to clean it up. She didn't clean it up. They condemned her house. They kicked her out. I went to the county. I bought the house back. And I wanted to know what it was. We had to replace the sheetrock, the entire house sheetrock, because the smell of cat urine had penetrated the sheetrock. Why am I telling you all this? I'm telling you all this because when you give away houses and cars, you have no control, okay? If you want that place, the gift, to stay good, then put that car, put that house in a trust and make it the, or an LLC, either one. Make it the only thing. If you're going to give a house away, you're going to car away, don't matter. Put it in a trust all by itself. Your lawyer's going to know how to do this. And tell the person, if you work for me for 10 years, I'll give you this house straight out. If you keep this house in good shape and the lawn's mowed, everything clean and tidy, we have a guy come by randomly to check your house to make sure you're doing a good job keeping it clean. And if you keep it clean for 5 years, I'll give you the house. Either way, you either work for me for 10 years or if it's clean and tidy after 5 years, I give it to you. 5 years is a long enough time to get people in the habit of keeping their house clean. Once I instigated that, I never had any problems with anybody with their houses. And after 5 years, they're not going to change. So it was easy for me to give away a house then. With a car, it's you keep your car clean, you keep it, you know, half tank of gas or full or fuller. And you do that for a year and I, you know, my people check on it and everything's up to snuff, we'll give you the car. Yes, it's being recorded. So you want to put these caveats in there because if you just give them the house and like 6 weeks later, they're like, fuck you, bitch. They just leave. You have no recourse. So when you give a gift as a humanitarian, you want to put strings on it to make sure they're doing the right thing, okay? Now, on the other hand, if you've got somebody in your family and God almighty, it's your brother and he's married an OCD bitch and she just keeps the house freaking spotless from day one, just give him the house. If it's somebody you don't know, put strings on it. If it's somebody you know and know well, you know, use your own best judgment. So I'm just trying to go through all of the things that I get asked. When you go to the exchange, let's go back to the exchange. At the exchange, this is the right document. Let's see. At the exchange, yes, this is the right document. So you're at the exchange. You've read the, how do I prepare for the RV? You've read that. And now you want to know, okay, we're at the exchange. Woohoo! We're changing currency. We're changing currency. So you print this document, okay? One of the things that is going to happen to you, if you've never, okay, this is my own personal little gizmo, okay? When you become wealthy, you're going to go through a series of things that I call firsts. The first time this happens, the first time you buy your first mansion, the first time you open up your first company, the first time, you know, you get the idea. It's all of your firsts, okay? The first time you get handed a check for millions of dollars, your adrenaline is going to kick in like nobody's business. If you've never felt adrenaline, oh, Lordy, it's the stuff dreams are made of, okay? It is a major rush, and it makes it really hard to think, okay? Because you're Twitter baited. You're like, oh, I'm going to do my project. I've been waiting for this for years. Woo-hoo, I'm going to do my project. And every sense of sensibility goes right out of your head. At least that's what happened to me. It's the amount that blows you away, okay? So you need to do everything you can to keep your feet on the ground. And even if you think, oh, you know, fuck this, this doesn't bother me. The first time I got a $15 million check, okay, I was an outlaw cannabis grower, okay? I had several thousand dollars in different sales. I had never had a $1 million sale, but the first time I got a $15 million check, I remember before I went in to get it, I was thinking, this is no big deal. When they put it in my hand, I short-circuited. And I couldn't remember nothing after that. I couldn't remember nothing. I was so excited. Because that happens to people, I urge you to print this document and have it in your binder. When they do your ZIM, they're going to put it in a checking account and a routing number, okay? It may be different because it's the QSF, so I don't know how it's going to work. When you give them the ZIM, they're going to give you the checking account number, the routing number, or whatever the name of the new system is called. Put those numbers on this paper because you're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. Then you want to add a payment, something on death, the TOD, terms of death. I can't remember what the TOD means. And a POD, pay on debt. You want to add those two things. Who do you want to get this money if you die? If you get in a car crash on the way home from your RV, who do you want all this big blessing to go to? Make sure you have a TOD and a POD on file before you leave, because if you don't, and you live in states like California, I'm from Cali, I can say that, the state takes your money. I don't know, I'm in Colorado now, I don't know if Colorado does that, but you need to make sure you have a POD, pay on death, it's terms of death. I can't remember what the TOD means. Anyway, they're going to know. And then you're going to ask for clean and clear certificates. So if you want to go buy a new car or a house right off the bat, you can get that. I don't think you're going to get starter checks because at the time this document was written, we thought, you know, checks were still a thing. You may get a credit card. Find out what they're offering and then make check marks and go through this check, check, check. Their federal banking only insures to $250,000. I don't know if this new money is going to be insured or the quantum financial system is secure enough. So I don't know if we're going to need insurance or not. I don't know. But take a paper in that has a space for you to do your checking account number, your routing number for your new accounts. Some people are going to want their accounts all in one account. Other people are going to want them all separate. It's up to you. This is just information, folks. If you scroll down halfway down to the document, you're going to see reminders. Did you get a copy of your signed NDA? You need to make sure you take home a copy of your signed NDA. You're going to need a transitional banker or a transitional team. So did you sign that appointment? Did you make an appointment with whoever your next team is? Now, I use the word private banker, but it might just be your transfer team. I don't know the terms or the names, but you've got to have a secondary appointment so you can get the finalization of all these funds done with as far as the projects are concerned. You're going to make sure that they do some things to your account. You want to make sure that you have an ATM card, no fees on charged on any of your accounts. You want deposit receipts for each one of the accounts to make sure that they've been deposited. You want to make sure that your card does not have an RFID chip, or do they provide a sleeve that blocks RFID scanning? You might want to ask for a book of checks. I don't think checks would be available. You want to ask for a clean and clear funds letter, proofs of funds letter. These things may not be available. They may say, oh, you can go tomorrow and get that from your bank. You want signed NDA, notary service. You can see all the different things on there. You want to tell the banker that you want your accounts flagged to access restricted to non-essential banking personnel. You don't want somebody to train on a multi-million-dollar bank account, okay? Tag all of your accounts as non-test and non-training accounts. Make sure your bank has no power of attorney. A money manager does not have complete fiduciary money control over any of your money, and they have to request authorization for any transaction as a security measure. Absolutely no investing in BlackRock, Aladdin, or Carlyle without approval and complete terms and review. So let me go one more thing. I have an insider who is telling me that anybody that does any work with BlackRock, they will not be funded. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's enough to scare the bejesus out of me to say something to you. Hang on just a minute, Lori. So stay away from BlackRock is the best thing I can tell you. Okay, Lori, what's up? Lori, you had your blue hand up. You wanted to talk?
Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. I'm on a board for a nonprofit animal rescue, and that's what I want to expand regionally. Is that going to be a problem because it is a 501c3?
It is not going to be a problem because that is not your humanitarian project. Your humanitarian project is going to be a totally different project.
Okay.
Right?
Or do right, you own I that? I do not. I'm just on the board as a unpaid volunteer for the rescue. Nobody's paid. But I wanted to buy acreage and build a facility so we could increase the amount of animals that we help. Because in Texas, we have a horrific euthanasia rate, and I want to decrease that.
Got it. Well, guess what, sweet girl? If you look in the channel right now, one of the samples that I use to show people how to write is an animal project.
Okay.
You can use that. Pull it up, okay. Put your information in it, and shorten it up. It's way too big. It needs to be 2 pages, but that gives you kind of examples or samples of what you can do.
So
it's not going to be any problem to do a humanitarian project. See, another thing I get asked all the time is, I'm working for a 501c3 and I want to fund them, so I want to donate my money to the 501c3 I'm working with. No, you can't do that because that's not a humanitarian project. That's charity. Okay. Charity is when you give money away, not an item. So how do you handle it? I think that's what you really want to know. If I were you, right, what I would do. Do you like the people that you're working with? Is the program good?
Oh yeah, we're awesome. So I mean, I basically,
beautiful. Hang on. Okay. Wait. Let me make it real, really easy for you. Once you get your RV, okay, you go to the people that you're working with and you say this, I have gotten an inheritance. And I love this program so much that I want to duplicate it and expand it. And I would like your team to help me run it. So are you okay with that? And if they say yes, then you say, okay, we're going to be a satellite of your company. We're going to pay all of the people. You're not going to have any more volunteers. We're all going to up our ante. Right. My nonprofit company is going to pay the volunteers an absolute wage, and it's going to pay your Mr. Boss. Mr. Boss, this is your animal shelter. They're going to guarantee a payment of you for you overseeing and helping me start this. And that money can go for your time in both places.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they'll say no, because you're offering them funding for themselves, for them to get a paycheck. You're offering funding to pay people for their volunteer time. If they say, hey, look, we want to have pay our people, then you say, would you like to put your organization into mine, and then I'll fund both organizations. What you cannot do is give charity. You can do the exact same project, reach out to them and say, hey, will you help me run it? And we'll pay right. you a we'll pay you a stipend to do it. And that's usually going to be your best shot for this. Hey, Marty. I have a friend of mine who is one of the admins who, I don't know if he's in here or not, but he wants to do flying cars. They don't make flying cars yet. So he's going to reach out to one of the new people that have inventions and say, hey, I would like to fund flying cars. And if you want, if you want to fund your project, I'll be more than happy to put you into my 501(c). And we can fund your project, we can pay for your project, and we get flying cars out to the masses. You cannot give money away. You've got to have a project. Make sense?
Yes. Thank you.
No problems. Does anybody else have a question?
I have a question.
Speak up, sir, or forever hold your peace.
Okay. So we have these other currencies. Is the ZIM the only one that really requires you to have a humanitarian program? And if so, what is the percentage of that ZIM that you would have to donate towards humanitarian projects?
That's a great question. Nobody knows the real answer to that. Anybody that tells you anything else is lying. Okay. So let's get that off the board right off the way. What do I think is going to happen? That's a whole different question. What I've been told by several different people, I have not been able to verify this, is that 11% of your ZIM money will go to a humanitarian project if you want to be in the higher rates for your own personal money. A lot of people don't realize that 11% or whatever percent they're asking you, good night, Corporal Brig, whatever they're asking you to put up, you still have your own money out of that. And that's the lion's share of the money. What I believe will happen is once you realize how much you actually have, you're going to want to take a lot of your own personal money and also add that into the humanitarian project. So we believe it's 11%. Me personally, I believe the amount of money I'm going to have, I'm going to end up probably donating 90% of what I have into humanitarian projects, because the 10% that I have left, I'll be able to live like a freaking queen for the rest of my life. So it just depends a lot on what you have, what you're trying to do, and what you're trying to do in the future.
Okay. So the other currencies don't have a demand on it that you would have to have a humanitarian program. It's just a ZIM. Is that correct? ZIM.
Now, we've been told, now it goes back and forth. I have some people that say you can ask if you can use the Dong or Daenerys for humanitarian projects and they'll fund that. Some people say that's not true. I don't know. What I have been told is really interesting, and it seems to be most of the gurus say the same thing. It doesn't matter how much ZIM you have. If you have one ZIM, one bill, and you have a humanitarian project and they accept the project, and you need, say you have 100 million ZIM, okay, a ZIM bill, and you need $5 billion to do this project. If they like your project and they fund it, they'll fund it completely. They'll fund the whole $5 billion. You won't have the personal money that you would have if you had $5 billion, you know, Zim to give them. But you would take your personal money out of the five million that you, of the money that you gave them. So your personal money would be drastically different because you don't have the $5 billion that you need for your project. Okay. But I've been told if your project is accepted and you don't have enough money, then they'll fund it. If you just want to get the higher rate, you say, hey, take the 11% and they'll give you the higher rate. That's what I've been told. Again, we're just guessing because no one has gone through this. I'm giving you my best advice based on the background I have with business.
Okay, so you're saying you can tell them, ask them to just take the 11% and you not have a program?
If you want to do that, yeah, you can.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Now, James.
Yes.
Do you believe in God?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to tell you something. And I want you to listen really hard, okay? Because what I'm going to tell you is not easy to hear.
Okay.
All of us were brainwashed for years. The deep state has told us you have to have a college degree. The deep state has told you you have to be in business. The deep state has told you over and over and over all different ways to tell yourself, I can't do this. I can't have a project. I don't have time to do a project. I'm not talented enough. I don't have an education. You know what? That's your brain telling you bullshit. Okay.
Right.
I believe that God has tattooed on your heart what your project is. You may not know what it is. Take some time, be by yourself, talk to God and ask him. Because none of us got here by accident. Every single one of us who's listening on this phone call, laugh at me all you want, but I believe you were brought here by God and that you have something. You have a vision that you may not even know what it is yet, but you have a reason to be here and you are important. Every single one of you is important. A lot of people ask me, Parker, why do you waste your time writing these documents for free? These project pitches, when I was working in my company and got $2,000 a page, I'm basically giving away $4,000 worth of work every time I edit one of your documents.
Wow.
Every single one of you is my personal tool to take down the deep state. Every single one of you that has a project, that steps up, that puts on that heavy cape of responsibility of being a humanitarian, you're here for a reason, and your reason is God wants you here. I don't have to do any of this. I am being told I really didn't believe God spoke to you. I really didn't have that relationship with God for most of my life. But I am being blessed, and God is telling me that I need to save and bring the humanitarians into this. James, you may think you can't do this. You may think you don't have time. You may tell yourself all kinds of things. You tell your brain to shut the fuck up. Your brain is brainwashed. Your heart is not brainwashed. Your heart knows. Listen to your heart, James. Listen to your heart. God is talking to you. Do not give this up. Do not take the easy path. Do not say, oh, I'm just going to get my money, fuck all y'all, and go. Okay. Because whatever you are, James, you're important to God. Every single one of you are important to God. And you would not be here. You would not be on this chat. You would not be listening to this little old lady talk about this crap if you were not important and you were supposed to be here. Don't give up what God gave you, sir.
Well, thank you. Very well said. I do appreciate you, for sure. And we all
it's that important.
Well, you're doing very important work also. I mean, because we all need you. I mean, all this is new to all of us, I think. And without direction, you know, or some kind of guidance, I think it could be a terrible mess.
I do too. So. That, and I think that so many people have been told, like, I had a lady on here today. I'm 62 years old. I'm a little old lady. I'm thinking, I'm 63. I don't know if I can do this. If you tell yourself you can't do it, then you can't do it. If you tell yourself you can, you can. Stop listening to your head tell you and give you excuses as to why you cannot do this. If you do, you're following into what the cabal wanted you to believe. God has a different plan for you. And you, sir, are a humanitarian, even if you don't know it yet.
Thank you.
Thank you. I got to go to the next person. Diane Young, hello. Did you want to talk?
Hear me? Oh, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, Verizon.
Yes. I have a question. I got on the call late, and I don't know if you talked about this, but my husband and I, we were going to gift some currency to my daughter. Okay. So when we make the call, do I have my daughter with me so that she can make an appointment, or can we exchange the currency for her and just say, we're gifting this to my daughter?
I don't know. Anybody that told you anything other than I don't know is lying to you. Okay. If I were you, this is what I would do. How old is your daughter?
28.
Okay. 26 is my cutoff date. With Fauci and science, I don't fucking trust science anymore, but I was about to say, science says that a child's full brain develops by the age of 26. So I will not give any funds to anybody under the age of 26. I put all their stuff in a trust and then I work on that. If I were you, I would put your daughter in the family governance and have your daughter run a program through the family governance. When she gets ready to break out of the family governance and do her own with her own family, you know, most people stay in a family trust until they're 40, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Some never leave. If you put that in the family trust and be that's her company, that's basically her company. That way you can make sure that she's protected. She's doing the right thing. You guys are, you're going to get a team to help you. She may not have, or she may, I don't know your daughter, not have the experience to know how to hire people and how to put together a team. That's really a lot of work. So it may be easier for both you and her if you put her in the family governance and do it as a trust like that.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank you very much for answering my question.
You know, you have to go with your, I don't know your daughter. You have to use your own best judgment on this.
Mm. I know what you were talking about, your daughter and not believing my daughter was the same way. And for some reason, my daughter took a turnaround and she's now believing everything. And I don't know what happened. It's a snap of the finger. She just believes everything now. And she starts telling me what's happening. She goes, did you hear this? And I'm like, been there, done that. I heard it all. So
put her in the family governance and set up a business for her to run inside that family governance. And you can pay her through the family governance. You can pay her house, your car, everything through the family governance.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anybody else have a question? Questions, equestrians, equestrians. No questions. Okay. Let's go to the next part. Okay. A lot of people wanted to know what Trump's list of projects were. These are the list of projects. The next thing I want to talk to you about is documentation. A lot of the a lot of the times what happens is people are excited about after the RV and they're going to get a house and they're going to do all these different things. And how do you deal with household staff? How do you make sure your house is clean? How do you do a lot of stuff? Okay. So there's going to be two documents that you really, really, really need to get done. And this document is going to be real important to your house. Okay. This is a real house. This was my real house in Vegas. And this, I cut this original document is, this document now is 44 pages. My original document has 67 pages in it. Yay. The reason why this document is so much less is because, I took out a lot of personal stuff that really doesn't make any difference to make this a smaller document. And this document is also in Adobe Acrobat, and there's a reason for it. When you hire staff, when you have a household, you're going to have a gardener, you're going to have all different kinds of people that work for you, okay? This document is just for your household staff, okay? If you have a humanitarian project or a project that requires you to go worldwide, you may not, oh shoot, that was not what I wanted to do. Yeah, it was okay. You may not know how to set up your house. So if you don't know how to set up your house, this document kind of gives you all the steps that you need to know to how to set up your house. It's not just setting up your house, but it's about making sure that you have everything ready for a household manager to make sure your house is correct with the staff that you have. So when you're gonna, if you end up, you know, if you have a bit of currency and you end up, say you end up going to you spend summers in one house and you go to winters in another house, okay? As you go from house to house, you're going to have, you're going to have staff in both of those houses. Hang on just a minute, boy. You're going to have staff in both of those houses. So you have to have a list of things that you can explain to your household manager so that the cleaning crew and the staff can do what you want them to do. If you don't give them guidance, they're going to do whatever they want, and then you have no idea if they've done a good job. So it's got that, if you pull up this document, it has an introduction that basically tells you what they're expecting. You want a house, service in your house to be 5-star level. You want the service in your house to be like a hotel, okay? Because your staff doesn't know who's going to come visit you, and neither do you. So if you're going to be dealing with multi-million-dollar projects, you can't have someone come to your house and you look like a slouch or your house look like a slouch. So you set up your levels of what you want and how you want your house treated in a household manual. You make the same kind of manual it for your vehicles, for any, you do an employee manual for your business, but this is what you have for your house. Now, if you go to proper language, my staff does not say, yeah, sure, no problem, you bet, gotcha, right, I don't know, okay? There's protocols of how you speak to my clients in the house. I've had multimillionaires come visit me, and I never, ever had to worry about my staff because my staff was on point. They were always proper. Yes, Mr. So-and-so. Of course, Mrs. So-and-so. My pleasure. No trouble at all. With pleasure. I'd be pleased to do so. Quite right, sir. I have no idea, but I'll find out immediately. They speak like an educated person, even if that's they only have 10 sentences they say. I actually write out exactly how I want my staff to speak. When the house manager, at the end of an event, the house manager is walking around and listening to your staff and making sure everything's good. At the end of an event, the house manager is going to file a little document that said, so-and-so did the care for this party and she did a great job, blah, blah, blah. She's going to write 2-3 sentences and then put them in your staff book. At the end of the year, you're going to separate all those little documents by each person. You will be able to determine instantly whether or not that employee deserves a bonus or whether you need to find a new employee. Those documents of the person's work protects you from being sued by your household staff because you have a registered document, a trail of work that's been done and all the documentation to prove it. If you go down to page 11, all of these pieces of this document can be pulled out of this document and be written and made into a sign-off document. So you have little Susie is going to be responsible for pre-information gathering, guest pickup and drop-off, and escorting guests to their room. So she gets 3 pages from the house manager, and each, like pre-arrival, it's obtain a list of all the guests who are joining Mr. Vincent and Ms. Parker, confirm travel itinerary, ask about any special requests, ask about any gifts Mr. Vincent may want to place in the guest room. Once she does that, she gives that document to the house manager and it's checked off. When she goes to pick up and drop off, all of those things are checked. She double checks this. This way there's continuity. Every single time you have a guest come up, they're treated with the same level of respect. When they're escorting the guests to the room, there's a bunch of different steps. Every one of you is going to want to have something a little different. You may not want this exact document. On the same hand, you may want the exact same document. I put this in a PDF so that you do not copy it. The reason why I don't want you to copy it, you can copy every single thing, but God bless America, I want you to actually type it out for yourself. Because once you type it out for yourself, once you actually do this, you own it. It becomes your document. Because if you don't, it's always my document. And you don't want somebody else running your house. I took out things like on pre-arrival preparations, okay? I like my room freaking freezing. So I want my air conditioner set at 60 degrees. I sleep cold at night. I like it being cold. So if you just copy this and you don't pay attention to, hey, the air conditioner set at 60 degrees, and you give this document to your house manager and your little servant girl, or your little person that, you know, your housekeeper, she sets the room at 60 degrees, and you go in there and go, what the hell? I'm freaking freezing. It's your fault because you gave her a document that you approved that you never looked at. That's why I'm saying, please, if you want to copy the whole thing word for word, by all means, go ahead and do it. But absolutely read this and make it your own. You may want different preparations. You may want the same preparations. I don't know, but make it your own. Some of what like I tell people, this document is originally 68 pages. And then some people say, well, what did you take out of it? Well, I can tell you that some of the things I took out of it on the master bedroom, I want my coffee pot filled. And I want it set so I just have to push a button to make it make coffee in the morning. I want a chocolate placed on my pillow. I am addicted to chocolate. I'm completely addicted to chocolate. And so the first time I went to a 5-star hotel and I found out that I walked in the room and there's like chocolates on the pillow. I was like, to me, that was like, woohoo, I'm going up in this world. I got chocolates on my pillow. I thought that was like the be-all, end-all of grace. So I know it's ridiculous, but I want chocolates on my pillow. So when I travel from house to house, my staff, you know, I haven't been there, so they don't know what I want. So the house manager gives the staff this, and you know, I just can see in my mind's eye, I can see my little girl looking at this going, fucking bitch wants chocolates on her pillow. What a fucking tall poppy this one is. I don't care. It's what I want. This is your house. This is your life. You can make it any way you want. If you want freaking chocolates on your pillow, write that on your staff information so that your staff knows exactly what you want. If you look at what page? Shopping lists. Go down to page 24. This is hilarious. I know this is just wrong. I actually write out the things I want in my house when I come to my house. So I left some of these things in here, but there's a lot more stuff. So I have a pre-arrival shopping list. I want a half a gallon of milk, a quart of 2% milk, a pack of European butter, a container of Dan and yogurt, Del Monte pineapple slices and heavy syrup, a tub of plain. I have a list of foods I want. These are my feel good, real good foods. Okay. So I want them in my house when I show up. But if I'm not in my house for 2-3 months, you know, all this shit's going to go bad. They don't know what to buy. So if you have a list of the stuff that you like to eat, you put it in your house documents, and then like you go to your house 2-3 times, and you figure out, oh, hell, I'm not drinking that 2% milk. So remove that from my list. This, by making it into Word document, it's a document that you can switch back and forth and make fit for you. Okay. This document that you're looking at is literally 25 years of my life to write this. I see we got questions. Okay. Victoria, you have a question. And then Tracy, I think it's Tracy, you're next. What do you want to know, Victoria? Or is it Veronica? Look and see if you can speak. You'll have a blue button. Touch that blue button and say, hey, Parker.
Hi, Parker.
Hey, Veronica.
I go by Vicky.
Hi, Vicky.
Hi. I live on the Big Island in Hawaii, and there's not many humanitarian projects here. I do not have a project, but I heard you speaking to James earlier, and now I understand what I can do to help people here. It's very awkward. There's a lot of homeless and a lot of things, I'm sure, that's everywhere. And the most of the things that I really want to try to help with is our kids, our local kids here, and our kupunas, which is our older people in the islands, and trying to get them better services. So as I was thinking about that, I heard you explain to James all the different things that can be done and why we're here, and I totally believe why we're here also. So I just wanted to figure out, I don't have Zim as well. I only have Dong, and I don't even know how much it is, so I'm still learning that too. But there should be something I can do to help these people, correct?
Yes, you have Dong, you will not be required to do a project. Can you mute your mic so it don't get feedback, please? If you have Dong, you are not required to do a project. However, if you have a lot of Dong and you want to do a project, you can do the same thing that everybody else is doing, but you self-fund yourself. There is a possibility that they will accept Dong as a humanitarian project and fund it for you. That's something you're going to have to ask. What I tell people is, whatever you do, you think you want to have a project, and I'm pretty much sure you want to have a project, otherwise you wouldn't be here, is go buy some Zim. So let me put a link up to the person I buy Zim from. Banknote World is one of the most expensive companies to buy Zim from. This company, let me get the company. Get Zim from leftover baggage. This guy is still selling Zim. And this is $18 for one. And if you don't have any at all, just buy one. Okay. With $10 trillion, you have a project, and if they want to fund it and you don't have enough ZIM to fund it, they will completely fund it. If you don't have this, they won't. So I call it my insurance program. If I've got people that I just want my own plane. that's funny, Rita. If I've got people that want to do a project but don't have ZIM, I tell them just buy one bill. That's all you have to buy. Do it immediately. Do it right now. Go to the link, buy a ZIM. This guy is Leftover Bagels. All of my crew has bought from him. This guy is awesome. That's my best advice for you. But I have a program that is perfect for the Big Island. I was born in Hilo, Hawaii. And I have a program that is for Hilo, but I'm pretty sure I will not have the time to do it. So if you would like to talk to me, I'll be thrilled to give you all the details if you'd like to do it for yourself. But it's a project that it reaches out as a space, a meeting space, a gathering space for seniors, for children. It provides information. It's a blessing station where you can help people that have problems. It's got a space where you can check out, parents can, you know, if the kids are sick, they can check out games for the kids to take home. You have events every weekend, family-centered events, arts and crafts kind of thing. It's a whole community project thing. I understand that a lot of the problem in Hawaii is there is not enough activities for the younger generation, and this kind of helps with that.
That would be great, because yes, I live in Hilo, and there is not enough of anything here for them.
You live in Hilo?
I do.
Okay. Here. I was born in Hilo, Hawaii, 3 days before Hawaii became a state. I was smuggled to California, and I was sold on the gray market. I found out I was born in Hawaii when I was 35 years old. I've never been back to Hilo since I was 4 days old. I'm making a beeline to Hilo the second this thing RVs. I want to know where I was born. If you would like to please reach out to me, I would be beyond thrilled to help you. And all I ask is you tell me about Hilo.
I would love that.
Please reach out to me. Hello.
Yes, I would really, really love that.
Beautiful. Any other questions?
No, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. Who's next, please?
Hi, Gita here.
Hi, Gita.
I'm so excited. I meant to talk to you about this before. Actually, I did write up a project for Hawaii, and she's very old. She wants to move away to India, but the project is all about ancient culture and the worship and reclaiming the land from historic. It's such an amazing place. I already call it the Island of Paradise. And I'm really looking for somebody to help me with that, because I don't mind funding it, but I need somebody to take over the project, because I have other projects in other countries. So
Victoria might want to reach out to Gita. If you've got, that sounds like a way interesting prospect. Gita, Victoria is on Hilo right now. That's the big island. That's the main island, the biggest island. It's not Oahu. It's the big island. So you've got somebody right there. I'm absolutely going to go to Hawaii, but I'm the same place as you are. I'm looking for someone in the island state to help me make. I want to know where I was from. So Hawaii is real special to me. So it sounds like please reach out to Victoria. Put a message in the channel so the two of you can reach out and talk to each other. Victoria, I will be talking to you soon, okay?
Thank you very much. Hope to connect with you.
India has a massive problem with starvation. And I don't have anybody in India that would be, that I know to reach out to with the Parker Potts project, the Feed the World project. So if you'd like to reach out to me about that, if you're going back to India, please do so. Okay.
So Victoria will be waiting.
Yeah, please put a message in the channel so you and Victoria could reach out to talk to each other.
Thank you.
THD, yes, it will be. THD, TDH. I got your name all screwed up. Yes, it will be. Anybody have any more questions about this topic? Yes, no, maybe so. Okay. I'm looking for little blue hands, little blue jumping hands. Okay. So the next document I'm going to put out, I waited until there wasn't a lot of people in here for a reason. The document I'm going to put out is this document is this document will cost you $50,000 to $60,000 to get. What this is a, this is your business document. Let me get this in here, go to your list. This is called what? Parker Pot, where's this going at? Documents, where's that? Documents, there we go. Business, there we go. Document, Parker Pot, going there. There we go. Okay, folks. I don't regret this. Folks, this is my real document. This was my real employment document. I'm doing this in a PDF as well because I do not want you to copy it directly. I want you to actually read it. Let's see if I can get this. See if I can get it up and going. Come on. What's that? Where is it? Business. Can you guys open up that document, the employee manual? So what this is this was my original document for when I had a business. And it used to be that when you saw the table of contents, it actually had that link. You could click on the link and it would take you to the right part of the page. Well, when I updated my Adobe, it totally wrecked all the links. So not only the links are missing, but also the page numbers. Doesn't matter. What's in this document is critical important. Every business has to have an employee manual. It usually costs anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 to have an employee manual written. What you're looking at is 35 years of my life. I take this document and I adjust it for whatever business I'm helping my client set up. When you have when you start to hire people for your business, you're going to need to know what every employee does, and you're going to need to know what their jobs are. So this document tells your employees exactly what you want them to do, what kind of work you want them to do, how you want them to do the work, etc. This is really critical, okay? You're also going to have documents. Here's another one. These are real documents. These are my real documents, folks. When you have your own, when you have your own job, your own company, you're going to have standards and steps for that company. Okay. You're going to have an organizational chart of how everything flows. And when you go to hire people, knowing how that organization flow is important for hiring people. So if you look at the document I posted, VP of Finance, it says the job title, the department, who that person reports to, and who approved the hire, and when they were hired. When you have a hiring manager that is helping you hire everybody, they need to know who they're reporting to. This person who their company is hiring, who are they reporting to? Because to get a really cohesive team, you need an employment company that matches not just the person you're trying to hire, but matches the personality of the person that you're trying to hire with the company. So when I look at my org chart and I hire somebody, I figure out who that new hire is going to report to, and I put all that information in there. Because my hiring company, the gal that I'm going to have do all the hiring for me, she knows the people in the supervisory positions, and she knows what kind of people work with each other. So she will help pick a person based on their skill set and how they work with that other person. You have to have a document that tells a hiring company what skills you're looking for when you hire somebody for your new companies, okay? If you don't know what you're looking for, then the hiring agent doesn't know what to find. Think about what you're going to do. Your transition staff and your staff that's going to help you with all your documentation, they may be able to do a lot of this work for you, or they may point you to somebody that does this kind of work, okay? It's not as difficult as you think to write one of these up. What I did when I first started doing this is I looked at other people and what they were looking for in their hires, and I said yes or no to different things, okay? I want you to read this and make this your own document, because there's things in here that I'm going to do that I'm pretty sure other companies are not going to do. I'm absolutely going to drug test. Absolutely. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm sorry. I have a dog playing with a bone in the background. But I don't consider cannabis a drug. That's a medicine or a recreational treat. Okay. I do not test for cannabis. What I'm after is I don't want any meth users. I don't want any heroin junkies. I don't want drunks. Okay. So if you're a drunk, we'll get you to, you know, rehab. If you can't be rehabbed, we get you a new, we'll help you with a new position someplace else. Meth and coke and heroin, I don't know anything about those drugs. I've never used any of those drugs, and those people scare the living shit out of me. So I don't want them anywhere near my company. If you're smoking weed, fantastic. You'll be invited to every company party. Other people don't feel that way. I don't have smoking on premises at all. No tobacco, no cannabis. I will have recreation facilities where you can go to smoke cannabis if you want to. I will have smoking rooms that you can go to if you smoke cigarettes. I will not have employees standing outside smoking a cigarette. Don't do it. The people that do not smoke cigarettes, they get an extra break. Because I find people that smoke cigarettes generally tend to take more breaks than those that don't. All this is written in my documents for business, okay? If you have an employee that's doing you dirty, okay, and you don't have documentation of everything you've done with that person as far as the hiring process and the firing processes, they can sue you, and they will. So I'm going to take my employee manual to my second meeting, not the first meeting. I'm taking this document to my second meeting with my wealth management team and saying, they're going to be shocked because nobody does this. I'm going to put this down on the paper and I'm going to say, this is how I want my company run. Fix it. That's going to make their job so much easier because now they don't have to spend hours and hours and hours and asking you, how do you want meal periods done? How do you want overtime to be done? How do you want use of vehicles and equipment done? What if you have an emergency closing? How do you handle visitors in the workplace? Workplace monitoring, leaves of absence, all the 300,000 freaking things that come up when you own a company. I gave this information last because I wanted to give it only to those that had enough guts to stay on here and listen to me yammer for an hour. Folks, this is a very, 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 very expensive document. I charge people anywhere from $75,000 to $100,000 to write one of these for somebody. You're getting it for free, okay? Take this document. I know it's 53 pages. I don't give a shit. I don't want no crybabies here. And go over every area. Take what you want and make it yours. Look at this as your own business. How do you want to say a welcome letter to people? How do you want to deal with drug testing? How do you want to deal with progressive discipline? Everything in this document is stupid shit that I have had to deal with being an owner of a company. So I am pretty snotty about some of this stuff. And I'm pretty serious about it because this is something that God put in my heart to do. I have never in my whole life ever shown anybody this document. This is my personal, this is my Parker Potts employee document. You are more than welcome to copy every single word that's in here as long as you actually do it yourself. Because you need to make sure that this is what you want to have in your company. And a lot of times people will pick this thing up and they go, holy son of a bitch. This thing is like, good day, mate. This thing is like 50 pages long. And they flip to a couple pages and they go, oh, this is beautiful. I'll just copy the whole thing. Don't do that. Because if you hire people under this document, this is a legal document. You better know what's in it. That's why I say, if you want to copy every word of it and make it part of your document for your second meeting, by all means do so. More than happy to have you do it. Change it all to make it be yours and write it for yourself. Okay? Any questions?
I have a question.
Let Rita speak. I think she was waiting first. Rita, you're up there, girlfriend. And then whoever said I have a question, you're next.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Verizon.
Okay, Verizon. Okay, one, what denomination of the Venezuela currency should you buy? And two, the wealth management.
The Venezuelan Bolivar. What you want to do is you want to choose a Bolivaris. On that document that I posted here, let me post it again. You want to choose one of those bills on the very first line, okay? Any of those bills. The ones that seem to be the most cost effective is, hold on, I don't know the number of it. There's the document right there, and let me pull it up so I can see it again. The number four, it's called the 10 Bolivars Digitalis. It's about $6 right now. $6 damn dollars. I mean,
wow.
Some are up to 10. It's been going anywhere from 6 to 10 for the past week. 3 weeks ago, when this first came into country, it was $45. So it's dropped dramatically.
Okay. What about the $1 million one?
The million, if you look at the zeros, count the zeros. The million is worth far less than the Digitalis Bolivar Sobranos.
Okay. So that was the number four.
Yes. That's what's common. If you can buy a number of 100, by all means, go deep, baby girl. But me, I'm on a limited income. And if I had to choose any of those, I would choose the number 10. They're currently the most cost-effective ones that you can choose.
Okay. Okay, my second question is the wealth manager. What do you go to an attorney? Do you go? I heard you talking about the bank, but you have to be careful that you don't sign your money away to the bank. So, clarify.
What I'm talking about is if you go into the bank and they tell you that you have to have a trust to get your money out and you didn't go in there with one, first of all, I need you to know I don't believe they're going to ask us for a trust. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Lisa, I don't know. I'm trying to open up your mic, Lisa, but I don't know what I'm doing wrong. So I don't believe you have to have a trust. I'm saying jump through the stupid hoop and get a trust just in case you're required to have it. Okay?
Okay. And that is, you can go to an attorney for that, or can you do up your own?
I posted all the trust documents at the beginning of this chat. You can do them all by yourself. The ones that you're doing all by yourself, those are just to get the money out of the bank. That's it. Okay. Just to get the money out of the bank. Then when you get it out of the bank, you are going to take it to a real trust manager, and they're going to write up your full trust for you.
Okay.
But again, I don't believe we're going to need one. I'm just doing it because I don't want to be caught without one. You know, if they, they say we have to have it, I want to make sure we have it.
Okay. Cause I have, I was going to give my son some money to go cash in, but I was told that would be better if I cashed it in and then put him into a trust. But then I heard
that's what I usually tell people.
Okay. Okay. Just okay. How about a husband that you're going to divorce and you need to set him up with something? did you?
Okay. I'm going to ask you some personal questions.
Okay.
Are you divorcing on good terms?
Hopefully, yeah. You know, it's the thing that I'm a crazy conspiracy theorist.
Let's hang on. Go about a minute. Have you already told him you want a divorce?
No, he's mentioned it many times.
He wants a divorce.
Yeah, because I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I'm crazy.
Okay. Do you want to stay married?
At this point, no.
Okay. If I were you, I would sit down with him right now before the RV, because if you wait until after the RV, oh, you got bigger problems.
Okay.
When you get a divorce, they want to see a meeting of the minds. So sit down and the two of you write out how you're going to split out everything, and specifically write, do you want currency? Do you not want currency? And if he's pissed off at you because you're a fucking conspiracy theorist, he's gonna say, fuck you, keep your own conspiracy, keep your own money. Then you write on your pre-agreed divorce payments all currency is to be stayed with you.
Yeah.
And you give him the tools. You give him something in equal value in his mind. You've spent, what, $100 on currency? Give him $100 with something. And get it in writing now and have him agree to it and sign it. Okay. That way, when you go to get a divorce and he says, bitch, you owe me $30 million fucking dollars. And you say, yeah. No, I don't. You told me that this currency was no value. You agreed you didn't want it. You agreed I was a conspiracy theorist. And you agreed you don't want any recompense for it. You wanted tools instead. We agreed to it. We had a meeting of the minds then. And any good fucking attorney is going to be able to stand on that. But if you don't do it now, and you RV, and he does, and he finds out how much money you've got, and he did not have a pre-agreed agreement, you guys might have problems. Because he could take this case to a lawyer, and that lawyer's going to go, oh, let me rub my hands together. Tell Jesus, we're coming to God, and we're going to get this money. Yeah, no.
Yes.
So get it in writing, get an agreement, separate now, file separation papers immediately.
Okay.
That's the only way you're going to protect yourself. Now, if I were you, I wouldn't do any of that. I would write up an agreement, and I would write up into the agreement that you're going to give him one piece of currency.
Okay.
If he gets pissed off and says, oh, fuck you, I don't want any of that, then you need to give him a piece of currency. Because you know. And you know he's been brainwashed. And you know the deep state has brainwashed him. And he's still the husband that you married. He's still the husband that you fell in love with. But his brain is not his own now. So if you do the right thing and give him at least one piece of currency, I posted the thing. Yeah, he'll get Nasara, but it's nothing like this. I would order a 10. I'd spend the $7-$8 and get him a 10 digitalis. Buy two of them, one for you, one for him.
Of the Venezuela. The
Bolivar digitalis, yeah. And say, look, I bought two of these. This is the highest piece of currency I have, and I'm giving you one.
Well, he knows what I have. Oh, go ahead.
Well, if he knows what you have, then even more important for you to have it in writing that you're splitting before it.
Well, so see, hang on.
If you've got kids, the last thing you want to look like is a shitty mother. So no matter what he said, if you have kids, make sure he has at least one piece of currency.
Yeah.
Do the right thing.
Yeah. Well, see,
it's more fun to be a bitch. I guarantee you, I'm real good at that point. You're being a humanitarian, you know?
Yeah. So
take care of him, even if he won't take care of himself.
Well, he's thrown it away twice in the trash. I've had to go dig it out of the trash.
Okay.
So
give him a baseball bat over the head and then give him a piece of currency. I'm just kidding.
Okay, I know you are.
But you just have to remember, and it's really, really hard. Right? My kids did an intervention on me on Christmas Day. Okay?
Yeah, I heard
that. I get it. If you just, literally, little daughters, you need to go straight to hell, okay? But on the same point, you have to remember, mainstream media is doing a fine job of brainwashing people.
Yeah.
When the truth comes out, it's going to shock you as much as it shocks him, because I've been on the dark web. I've been all over stuff. I've been heavy researching this. I was part of a crew of people that worked every single day for 4.5 years on the Q drops doing all kinds of work.
Yeah.
What we are seeing on the channels right now, on Telegram right now, is laughable compared to what we've seen.
We're going to see,
pictures, when the pictures come out, The one video that is going to come out, I know it's going to come out, it's a drone, and the drone is flying over a ship, and it looks like, as the drone is coming up, it looks like these people are laying on the deck sunning themselves.
Yeah.
And when the drone comes over, what it is little kids, and they cut their stomachs out like they were a can opener, and they removed all their entrails, all their hearts, lungs, all the things that they can sell on the black market. And then these bodies are laid on the ship with the flap of their stomach skin wide open where they've taken all their entrails. When they see that, that's going to take them to their knees. That's going to take everybody to their knees. That's a tiny piece of what's going to hit. The very people that you are mad at are going to be hit with this information in 7 days. We've had months to get used to the horror of about what's about to come. Your husband and everybody else that is not understanding of this, they're going to get a elephant shit pile load of hell dropped on their heads, and they're going to have zero time to get okay with it before we start the public hangings.
Yeah.
So you watch your husband turn into an asshole, into a sobbing, broken person that's begging for your forgiveness because he was brainwashed. So you got to keep that in mind, hon, okay?
Yeah, I know. I don't think he's going to make it through this. That's the thing. I really don't.
Well, use your best judgment, sweetie. Good luck to you.
Okay, thanks.
I have another question about that boulevard. And I know that you said number 4, which was, I think it was 10. Yes. Yep. And you're saying that's worth, that the value of that would be higher than the 500 mil?
Oh, hell yes. Yes. Look at, count the zeros.
Okay. Okay.
Way higher. Yes.
So those zeros. Okay. So those zeros really add to the way they're going to value.
Yeah, baby. That's what those zeros mean.
Okay, and you left the name of the place that we should get those from. I saw that.
Banknote World, Craig is amazing. And what you do is you text him, you tell him what you want, and you tell him you're with Ms. Parker, and he's going to give you grief. And then if you really want to make him laugh, you say, Ms. Parker said, he's going to kill me. You're going to say, Ms. Parker said, you're like the currency crack whore for currency, like the president's son was to buy crack. And he'll laugh.
Okay.
It's so wrong. But we call him our currency crack dealer.
Okay. What do you think that 500 mil will be valued at?
More than my house. I have no idea.
You have no idea.
A lot of people say that it's going to be 0.000025. Some people say it's going to be 0.22. I don't know. Gut feeling is it's going to be some portion of a dollar. So I don't think they're going to knock zeros off like some people say, but I don't know. Everybody telling you is guessing. I believe that the Boulevard and the Pengo are sleepers. They're the major sleepers in all this.
Okay.
The Chinese Yellow Dragon, a lot of people went berserk over the Chinese Yellow Dragon. I had a tier 3 guy who had 38 boxes of, 1,000 pieces each in each box. 38 boxes of Chinese Yellow Dragons. He took them in to get them verified. And out of 38, only one was a box of real Chinese Yellow Dragons. There's rampant false Chinese Yellow Dragons. They look real, but they are not. So if you have Chinese Yellow Dragons, just go in with the mindset that they're worthless and that they are not correct, that they're not right, and then celebrate if they are real. Because like I said, I had a guy that I know, he took in 38 boxes of CYDs and only one of them was real. So I guess he was ready to light the place on fire. He was so upset. The chances of them being real are more if it was bought in the United States and less if it was bought in China and shipped over here. I went really deep into CYDs. I didn't know they were that kind of foolery around them. So that was the currency I was betting on when I, because I know that they're sleepers. I just don't know what they are. And then I was, yeah, you can go to a bank, LT. Get a Deliveroo machine. And you can check it on a Deliveroo machine. But I was so concerned that the CYDs were no good that I invested in the Bolivar. When I started getting Bolivar, they didn't have the Hunter Bolivar's Digitalis. None of the 2021 bills was in the United States because I started getting into this in December. So those bills were not available until very recently. So I bought the Millions, and more importantly, I bought the 200 mils because at that time, the 200 mils were 23 cents a piece. So I was buying the 200 mils over the Millions because the price was just crazy. And when you added up, you know, how much was each, it was less costly to buy the 200 mils.
Okay. And in your humble opinion, you think the reevaluation worst case scenario will take place by when? Worst case scenario?
I'm not sure I understand what your question is, James.
I was just asking about the reevaluation. You think it would take place?
What do I think they're going to RV at? How much money do you think we're going to get for each one?
No, I was just saying with timeline, when this you think this would happen. Before
every single person that I reach out to for information in five different countries, I talk to five different people in five different countries, every single one of them has said since last Wednesday, it's any minute.
Okay.
So my birthday is August 22nd, and I'm planning on being on my boat by then.
All right. Sounds good to me for sure. Well, thanks for your help.
You're welcome, sir.
Okay.
Anybody else have questions?
Yeah, I have a question.
Who is the gentleman that was speaking?
Mark.
Mark, what's your question, sir?
I just have some, you know, clarification question on the 2020. Now, the numbers that are there for the Bolivar, you just add eight more zeros on what's posted on that sheet?
No, if you look, like if you're looking at the sheet, you see in the first row, it says 100 Bolivares Digitalis, the number plus 14 zeros. And it says equal, and then it says that big, huge, fantastic number, right? That number is what the bill is worth.
Okay. What about the 2020? Because like you said, the digital wasn't there, so I bought.
Go down to the 2020 bill, and it's the word is 1 million. So it's first you write down a million, and then you write down eight zeros.
Okay.
So that's number to the right is exactly what that bill is worth.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I was clear that what it said on the right is the actual numbers with the eight zeros on it is what I'm asking.
Yes, sir, it is. Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Great. Thank you. You're awesome.
You're welcome. Ha ha! I'm fabulous. Thank you. You're Tracy, welcome. Did you have a question?
Yes, please.
Let's get it, girlfriend. What's your question?
I'm putting together my for my humanitarian projects, but because I've never run a business before, I have no idea how to put together the estimate of how much it's going to cost to buy commercial properties and set up my, you know, whatever it is I'm going to do. Do you have any suggestions as to how I'm going to approach that when I go in for this redemption?
Did you scroll up and see the sample project that I put up there?
I've downloaded everything that you've put up there, yes.
Okay. So on the Animal Project Clean and Clear, it shows you different things that are on there, and it shows you a cost estimate. Okay.
Okay.
You don't have a clue what it's going to cost you. They know that.
Correct.
Okay? It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. It makes no difference. It's like the Karate Kid. It only matters if you try. So no matter what number you put on there, put your best guess. If you don't even know how to guess, go look up a property. Go on Zillow, go on up and see commercial properties you think you need 4 acres. Go see what 4 acres costs in downtown Jacksonville, Wyoming, and then go to downtown Denver and see what commercial property is. Do a blend of the two, come up with a number. Take that number, add 20% more. Guess. It doesn't matter if you're wrong. It only matters that you try. Because this document is going to go to your transitional team, and they're going to look at it and go, ha, 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 you poor thing. You thought this was going to cost $10 million. Ha, ha, it's $50. Or yeah, they're going right. to say, you're out of your freaking mind. You thought this was going to cost $50? It's only $10. You don't know. It doesn't matter that you don't know. What matters is that you wanted this enough that you did the research to find out what the hell things cost.
Right. Well, I have looked into that as far as that's concerned. But then, you know, again,
why are you asking me silly questions?
You know, I don't want to come off as well ill-equipped, because I don't have a clue on what it's going to cost for, you know, contractors and this and that to come in and revamp this, that, or what, I build it the way I want it to be built. You know,
think of this in mind. I'm doing an animal clean, clear project. I posted that project. Okay. On the cost estimate, it's $40 million per center. If it costs me $40 million per center, I'm a monkey's uncle. There's no way in bloody hell an animal center is going to cost me $40 million, okay? However, if it does, I'm covered, okay?
Right.
I don't expect it to. My guys, I'm pretty sure, are going to look at that number and go, oh my God, Parker, you've lost your peanut brain. It's not that much. On the same time, I don't know what the upgrades are going to be. Whoever's got a mic on, please mute it. I don't know what the upgrades are going to be. So I'm putting 60 million upgrades to property. You know what? I might have to have a conveyor belt. I might have to have a truck backup area to load my truck. I might put 60 million in there, and it might be an $80 million upgrade. It doesn't matter, because what matters is you give it your best guess. Your transition team is going to look at all your cost estimates, all your hiring estimates, and they're going to give you a real deal information, and then they're going to do, I believe they're going to do the final negotiations with the Alliance to figure out how much your budget is going to be for your project. I'm guessing. And my guess is based on I'm a startup specialist. I've started over 500 companies that were over $1 million startup. I'm just giving you my best guess based on that background. I don't know what they're going to do. None of us do. If they tell you they know, I know what they're doing, that's bullshit. Okay.
Are you assigned some sort of transition team to help you get into that?
Yeah, that's what we've been told, is you're going to be assigned a private banker and someone from your transition team at the redemption. You have to ask for it, but I've been told that that's going to happen. They know that we don't know what we're doing. Okay. It would be like giving a 5-year-old a loaded gun. Here's $80 million and a loaded gun. Go ahead and have fun. That's not going to work. They're not going to let you just go. They're going to give you some guidance. Although if you tell them, you know, fuck you, it's my money, I don't need any of this shit, they're going to go, ha, 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 sucker, get out of here now. Okay?
Right.
That's not what you're here for. God has tattooed on your heart what your job is, what your humanitarian project is. Only you know what it is. Trust in yourself. Listen to your heart. If your head tells you, oh, you can't do this because you don't have a degree. Oh, you can't do this because you don't know how to run a company. Oh, you don't know how to do this because you on and on and on and on. Tell your head to shut the hell up. If you don't know how to do anything, beautiful. You got money, bitch. Go out and hire people. I don't have to know how to be a CEO. I can hire a temporary CEO and say, okay, this guy I get along with, I can work with him. Hey, I need you. Your whole job for this year, you're not going to do shit. Your job is to teach me how to be a CEO. If you do a good job, I'm going to give you a bonus at the end of the year. But what usually happens is that guy does a good job teaching you how to be a CEO, and then you realize, you know, I don't like having a fucking target on my back for being a CEO. So how about you run this company and I'll be the chairman of the board and I'll check in with you and make sure you're following my vision. And that way I don't have to do the day-to-day minutia of what a CEO does.
Right.
I have zero interest in being a CEO, but I want to be the bitch in charge. I want to be able to tell my CEO, listen, I need you to complete this and this and this this week. I need you to make sure this and this and this happens. And then let him do it. Don't micromanage. Don't do nothing. Let him do it or her do it. Make sense?
Yes. Fabulous. Fabulous. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. You're welcome. All right. I'm going to put that document on here. I think somebody might want that. So here is the... Where's the, well, here, this one will work too. This one's got, this has got pricing in it as well, I believe. Let me look this up. Oh, hell no, that's the wrong document. No, that's the right document. That is the Feed the World copy, okay? And as you can see, I'm guessing year one, 15 million for staff and labor. 180,000 for grow kits, 6 million for equipment, 5 million for buildings, 4 million for raw materials, marketing, $250,000. Okay. I'm totally freaking guessing. Okay. I think my building, I'm going to raise my prices. As I expand, because I know that I'm going to open up multiple centers to do this in other states or cities, that's why year one is different than year two, because I'm not going to be able to open one back to back. So year one, I'm going to open one. Year two, I'm in process. That's why my raw materials go up to 30 million. Year three, I'm going to open a second facility. So now my raw materials are 40, and then year four, we're at 60. Okay? Make sense? Oh, you don't even see what I'm showing you. I thought I had. Oh, no, I did post. Anybody else have? I opened up everybody's thing, so you don't have to ask for permission to speak. Because this is just a question and answer. I don't know why, Lisa, I can't open up your thing to talk, but if you're more than willing to talk if you want to. Does anybody have any other questions?
I see it and I appreciate it. I just don't even have any clue on how to guesstimate what these prices would be.
Okay. What's your first thing that you want to know?
Well, like I said, you know, it was just something as far as, you know, I want multiple commercial properties. And, you know, even if I get a guesstimate that, you know, let's say this particular commercial property is going to cost over $1 million and I want 42 of them, you know.
Put $100 million down.
Okay.
Put $100 million down. Right now, you are fighting your brain. Your brain is telling you, you can't do this. You've never done this before. You don't know what a commercial property is. Shame on you. Who do you think you are? Why do you think you can do this? Shame on you. You can't do this. You can't do shit. You've not been trained to do this. Tell your brain to shut the fuck up. Tell your brain, I can do this. I'm here by the grace of God. I am going to put the mantle of humanitarianism around my shoulders, and I'm going to be responsible for changing and bringing the world up to the standard that we all need to live in. Right. Tell your brain to shut up. You've got this, honey. You've got it. Listen to your heart.
Oh, that's absolutely resonating. So I understand. Yes.
Okay. I didn't mean to yell at you, but I kind of did.
No, not at all. I love it. We all need to get to the pimp every now and
then. I feel a little guilty for yelling at you, but it's not going to last long, I promise. Is there anybody else that has a question?
I have a comment.
Go ahead. Be brave. Comment. You're talking to a redhead.
Yeah, what's up? I was just going to say and throw in there that everything you say is 100% legit, but I wanted to add in one thing because there's hearsay that if we have projects or possibility that if we have a military base around us, that's where we'll go if we have the vent. I just wanted to add to that, as a civilian, I play in a golf tournament every year in the military base, and it may, prior to COVID, it's a driver's license and boom, you're in. Since COVID, you've got to get out. You've got to go check in the building. They've got to make phone calls, do a security clearance. And the last 2 years, instead of just flying through there, I would say allocate just like you do with the TSA. Whenever you go to the airport, go through the check-in process, allocate extra time if you end up doing a military base, because it's,
absolutely, because the military base has a whole bunch of rules and laws that civilians are not used to. And for God's sakes, do not, if you have a concealed carry permit, do not take a weapon onto a military base. Do not, do not, do not.
Not even a pocket knife, you know. Don't
take it on there.
But anyway, I just want to throw that out there.
Good. Thank you. Rita Sanders, are you still in here? Are you having a problem? Are you trying to figure out something on? Rita Sanders, you can talk to me. Just push the button. If you're having a problem trying to figure something out, let me know. Does anybody else have any questions? Oh, I know we've been through a lot. The household manual and the other document, the business document, you're not going to need those until you get a mansion. You're not going to need the business document until you have a business. But I'm telling you right now, folks, we have some downtime. And while you have the downtime and you're like, I just want this to go, God bless America, take the time to write these documents out, because when this hits, you're going to be busier than a one-legged man in a ass-kicking contest. You're going to be screaming busy. So take the time to write out your business manual, your employee manual, write out what you think it's going to be. And then when you go meet with your transition team, you flap this 35, 55-page employment document out. You say, okay, this is how I want my company to be run. You take away any doubt in their minds
that you're going to be a hands-off project manager.
Business owner. Humanitarian. I'm using the wrong term. Anybody have any other questions? Yeah, go ahead. Ask a question.
Who goes first? I see more flesh.
Diane, you're talking, so you speak.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. The question I have, I don't know if you mentioned this earlier, is do you know how long it's going to take for you to present your project to when you go to your meeting?
I've been told that we only have 5 to 8 minutes. And basically, a 5 to 8 minutes is not a business plan. It's a project pitch where you have a very short amount of time. So what you're doing in your little pitch document, it's a 2-page document. Do not make it bigger than 2 pages. In those 2 pages, you want to have how much money it's going to cost, how long it's going to take, and how many people are you going to hire. If you don't know what it looks like, here is, I'm going to post another copy of this. You can print this document out. And this shows you the ETZ Humanitarian Project. It gives you an idea of information that you want on there. If you scroll up, you'll see EO13790 Feed the World Clean Copy. That is a sample of a completed document. So it gives you an idea of what information to put on there, and then for you to look at a sample that's done. Now, what I offer, folks, is if you want me to, if you fill out your document, you want me to format it for you, send it to me and I'll reformat it for you to make it look professional, professional. That doesn't take me very long. What I will not do is I will not write your document. If you figure out, you know, because it's really scary. You know, I don't remember the name of the last girl that talked to me, but it's really, really scary to say, you know, this is how much money I want for building. If you write out what your cost, you know, I'm going to pay for building, I'm going to pay for management, I'm going to pay for whatever your payments are. If you write all that out, but you're absolutely, I'm terrified to put the number down, send it to me and I'll fill that out. I don't got no problems guesstimating. I'm real good at that.
Well, and you then, know what?
Then they're okay. Going to fix it when you get the real person. Go ahead, Diane. I'm sorry.
No, what I was going to say was in the, you know, the past couple of years now, listening to all the talks and everything, people were saying that there might be multiple people doing the same project. And is there any way that you could tell them at your meeting that, you know, I'd like to research if other people would like to, you know, join in?
No.
Okay.
There are going to be multiple people doing your project, no matter what your project is. This is a massive country. This is a massive globe. We're going to need 1,000 people to do food projects. We're going to need 1,000, 100,000 to do save the animals, save the earth. It doesn't matter. Like I put out the Feed the World clean copy. I hope everybody in here goes, I want to feed the world, and takes that copy and turns that in as one of their projects. I'll make sure you get the pots. I'll make sure you get the Parker pots so you can do that project. It doesn't matter. You want to do a med bed. Brandy and Justin, hang on. I'll answer your question. And I've got a, yeah, you can take your foreign currency to exchange. And if you want to do a med bed, I've got a health center document. It's a clean and clear document. Give me a few minutes and I'll return that question for you. Sorry, I had another question. Take those documents and go for it.
Okay.
I've got a statement on a question if everyone's done.
Okay. If you'll give me just a second, what I'm doing is I am opening up this document because she wants a healing center. So let me pull up the healing center document. Where is the healing center? Open. Okay. So this is, okay, hold on just a minute, please.
I'm everywhere that it's red. You're going to change the red to your, to whatever information it says. So where it says your name, you put your name there. Where it says your trust, you put your trust there. Give me just a half a second. Okay, file, save as, browse, healing center, clear copy. So this document is a healing center document. And let me post it to the channel, and that way you guys can have this. Folks, there's going to need a lot of healing centers. And so if there's multiple people that are doing healing centers, there's nothing wrong with that. So here is the healing center document. change it to your trust, put the name of your trust in it, put your name in it where it says your name, put your background information in it. You can change any part of this you want to, but this is based on the EO that President Trump put in there. When you're basing your projects on an EO, it really is helpful because that's one of the focuses that President Trump wants us to focus on. So again, if you want to take this document, change it to make it yours, you're more than welcome to. There you go, Brandy and Johnson. Brandy and Justin, sorry. Called Justin Johnson. Brandy Johnson, sorry about that. Anybody else? I'm sorry, you had a question? I'm sorry.
More of a statement than a question.
Go ahead, please.
Brian. Hey, I just wanted to express some gratitude and say thank you for everything you've done and continue to do. Then I wanted to implore everyone to get on that binder for their projects. I've been working with you closely for the last 2 months, and it's taken me 6 weeks to get my entire project binder portfolio completed to include the KYC documents, know your customer, and bills and everything like that. So it takes some time to get this put together, if you're doing a project. And you know me, I'm very meticulous, but like I said, it took 6 weeks.
Not to get everybody is that in. Meticulous, my friend, thank God.
thank you.
You're welcome, sweetie. Thank you. That's very nice of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does anybody have any other questions or comments?
I was just going to mention to Tracy not to look at something that, 42 properties or anything like that. Start with, maybe two or three, and then after the first year, then start building on that. Too much Mark, at one point.
Mark, you're absolutely right. Mark, if you look at the National Healing Center, what you're going to see is year one and two is the startup year, and year three and four, you're adding another healing center. So
exactly.
When you write out your years of what you're going to do each year, don't try to do everything at once. Mark's exactly right. Put it in every 3 years, we're going to open a new healing center. This is the reason why I say we need 100 people doing healing centers. We need 1,000 people doing food centers around the world. So it doesn't matter how many people have the same projects because the need is worldwide. The fucking cabal has tried to kill us all. They have all of these humanitarian companies that basically steal children. That's not what we're doing. We're actually going to follow through on the promise that we made to God to do this work. So let's get it done.
Yep, because my humanitarian project has to do with MedBed. I'm applying for the MedBed as well. And also the EES system, if anybody's ever heard of it, but it's proton and bioscalar. Also frequency rooms and frequency water, infused water that I do my.
Well, let me give you some information. So, they've told us they've been real clear with this. Mark, here's a way to do what you want to do in a different way. They've already made real sure that they've told us that the med beds are not going to be available to the general public. It's going to be a military operation for the first couple of years. You can't be sitting on your butt doing nothing for the first couple of years. So the solution to that is to open a healing center, because they've already told us, they're going to tell us about different modalities and healings that have not been made to the general public, but are available right now. So the healing centers that my group is going to do, we're going to do healing centers with an option to do the med beds when they're available. So that way we can start the healing centers with the smaller modalities and the transportable healing stuff immediately, so that our healing centers are up and running. And we let them know at the time and we're going in that, hey, we want to have a med bed. You can't go in there and say, yeah, I want to have a med bed, but oh my lordy mighty, we're going to wait 2 years until the military says. You can't be doing nothing for 2 years. So if that's your track, then offer a healing center where you can start up with different modalities right away and start helping people immediately. And then once the military releases the med bed technology, then we can go further.
Yeah, well, that's my plan. I was going to go ahead and build it for the building, but I knew it was going to take at least a year or so to actually get those. but
yeah, I've heard some really, I've heard some really interesting things that I don't know are true or not, and I haven't been able to verify them. But one of the most unique things I've heard is that you need to have a med bed in a brick building. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm making sure mine is in brick.
Yeah, because it's far less, you know, be able to break into. They don't want it, from the information that I got, it has to be secure, completely secure. You also have to hire veterans to protect the place. Yeah, there's a lot I, you know, already, you know, planned, and you know, I knew I was going to go ahead and have the building built, you know, for that, security cameras, everything, you know, the whole nine yards. But I will be also doing food production for the communities.
That sounds fantastic.
Oh, and I will be doing it in the United States, one or two in the United States, and also international.
Beautiful. I'm starting in Zimbabwe. I figure I'm getting Zim currency, so I'm going to start in the country of Zimbabwe, and then I'm going to do Venezuela, and then I'm going to come back to the United States.
Perfect.
Anybody else have a question?
I do.
Question?
Okay, the little gal goes first, and then the gentleman, please.
Okay, this might be the silliest question tonight. I have
here. No, let me help you. What color socks are you wearing? Ha ha! There's your foolish question for the night. Go ahead.
I have more currency than I do Zim, and I'm going to do my project regardless, whether it's my personal funds or Zim. But I believe it was your channel that I read in the chat earlier today that if you have Zim, then you're going to, your dinar and dong will default to the, you'll get the default rate, not the contract rate. So seeing that I have little Zim, I don't want to leave money on the table. Which strategy, because we're dealing with unknown numbers here, what is your best guess should I do my projects with or without Zim, since I have more dong and dinar?
If you won't have a choice. If you have Zim, they're going to have you do it in Zim. If you don't have enough Zim, I've been told they will fully fund your project. Again, none of us know. And if I tell you, oh, this is what it's absolutely going to be, I'd be lying. So I'd rather not lie to you. I'd rather just tell you the truth. None of us know. I do know that if you have Zim, Zim will be their first channel. Your first chance, not channel, but chance to do your project. You want to do it in Zim because Zim is unlimited. If you have a project that they approve, they'll fund it all the way. If you don't have a project that think no, this isn't well thought out, or no, this isn't going to work, then is Rosemary on here? Rosemary, are you still in here? Rosemary? Rosemary, are you there, please?
I said yes.
Rosemary, are you there, please? Rosemary, are you there, please? Can you please speak? Speak in channel, please. Well, that's not going to work. Goodbye, TWC. I found you. Okay. I just had a little spy in here.
Okay. Wasn't a cabal.
Sort of. It's a person who does not do the right thing. Prison boss, did you just join in here? Prison boss, did you just join in here? Excuse me, folks. There we go. Where are we going? So, ex-prison boss, I just saw you in here. Okay, that one's done too. Yeah, I got it. Thank you. There are some people that join this channel that have been banned in many other channels, and they're not going to be allowed to be in here. So if I see those names, I just delete them. So anyway, thank you to the person who gave me the heads up. Anybody else have any questions or comments?
I had a question.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Mark was talking about his MedBed project, and he mentioned security. I'm thinking that's going to be something we're really going to need. Do you put on that?
It's required.
He was talking like special forces kind of security.
No. Yeah, I'm going to have special forces security.
How can we get that?
You hire them.
It'll either be through your it'll either be through the military, actually. When you get a year down the road, maybe two, when you get approved for it, all that'll, it's going to be pretty much set up. Or you may be asked to look at the veterans, to recently veterans, that because there won't be any need for the military, because of world peace. So I think a lot of these guys are actually going to be coming out of service.
Yeah, we don't know how any of that's going to go. We're just making our best guess.
Exactly.
I see. All right. Thank you. And thank you for the last minute project help. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sorry, I had to take care of a couple issues here, folks. Hold on just a minute, please.
Mark, a question?
5, 6, 7. Close.
Say, go ahead, Tracy. You asking me a question?
Yes, please, if I may.
Sure.
Where did you get the specs that you had to have a brick building for these EE systems or med beds?
It was another channel that was actually going over that has nowhere near the information that Hot for Yachts has. I mean, the information was probably about a third of what she's given tonight. But they did mention that it had to be high security for the med bed.
Yeah, the reason why we were told it was brick had nothing to do with security, but it had to do with
the energy. I understand that. Yeah. Itself.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'd never heard that before. It made sense, and that was the way I was going to go anyway, but I just had never heard that there were certain specs that you had to follow as far as these.
We don't know. Tracy, wait a minute. Just understand this. We don't know. I said I was told this by two different people, and it was not due to security. Although a brick building is clearly easier to control than a non-brick building, it had to do with the machine itself. Now, right. I don't know that person well enough to be able to tell you that, yes, that's honest information. I haven't been able to reach out to anybody who actually knows that information. So I don't know. I'm planning on making sure my health center is in a brick building just in case. I'm your prep girly. I want to make sure everything's good and taken care of. So I always want to make sure everything's correct. So
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I do too. I don't wanna start something and not be able to follow through because I don't have the right building or whatever it is I need.
Absolutely. Does anybody have any other questions?
Well, I think the reason why, for security reasons, and also is because of the frequency, and you know, of course, the med beds are AI anyway. It's kind of, I think, a shielding thing to keep things pure while people are in actually the med bed. And one way in and one way out is from what I understood, if what I've been told. So you can't have them coming in and out of the same door. It has to be kind of a walk through. And that's how I designed my layout for my medical building. And it's all separated from all the rest of the buildings, because I have multiple buildings on, the property that I will be building on.
Beautiful. Does anybody else? Hello?
I'm willing to post my drawing for the medical building, for the med bed, if Tracy wants that.
Just send it to her direct.
Okie doke.
I'd be very interested. Thank you.
Beautiful. Does anybody else have any questions? Mad Dulk, did you want to say something? Mark, if you look on channel, Monique is also asking for that information.
Could I ask a question? This is Bev K.
Are you under M8DULK?
I am Bev, BEVK.
Alrighty, what can I help you with?
I wanted to find out if I wanted to gift some Zim to a friend of mine. His wife is deathly sick, and I would like them to have access to the med bed, as well as hopefully give them something to work on when she gets healed. But I only have 35 that I can let go of. The other are in, I've got others that are 100 trillion, but I wasn't going to give them the full amount.
Hang on.
Yes.
I got a better idea.
Good.
Put that woman in your project, because the people that are going to get access to the med beds first are those that are doing projects. And then those are who are working for the project people. If you have her do her own project, then she will be going to the first of the line. You only need to give her one Zim, just one, and that'll be enough to get her in. One Zim, depending on the amount, is enough to do whatever you're going to do, because if you're short, then they're going to fund it fully.
Okay, great. So I can just give the smaller amount, or someone had said that it had to be a minimum of 50 trillion.
That's not true.
Wonderful.
I've heard that multiple different things, and I do not believe that is true, because you can do a project, you can do a humanitarian project for $20,000. You can do one for $50 million. So I do not believe that is true, but again, I don't know. And the person that told you that, they don't know either. And if they tell you, I absolutely know, they're lying, because there's only 10 people that actually know what the hell's going on.
Wonderful. Thank you very, very much. And I'll keep listening.
Good for you. Thank you.
Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Wendy, what's up? That's my daughter's name. What a great name you have.
So what if that same person that you would like for a med bed happens to your parents and they're very old and there's no way they would do a humanitarian project?
You can have chairman of the board. You can have board members. You can have CEO. Oh, okay. You can put your parents on as members of the board.
Oh, and they could be up in the rankings.
Yes, they're part of the project.
Oh, wonderful.
Or they're part of your family governance project. Make that project a family governance project, and put, and your parents are automatically on it because they're part of your family governance.
Oh, okay. All right, terrific. Thank you so much. I love those easy ones.
I do too. It's so much fun. anybody got any other questions? All right, folks.
One second. If anybody wants to look at the plan for the medical building that I have for the med, just DM me so that I can send it to you in private. That's it.
Folks, if you're looking, again, if you're looking to get currency and you want to get it quickly or you want to get it overnight, I'm going to post this again. This guy has done all the currency for all of my team. And how you do it is you don't go to the website. It's Banknote World. You can go to the Banknote World website and you can see what they're offering, okay? And then you text him. There's a phone number on the bottom. That's his personal phone number. So you text him your email and your phone number and your address and the amount you think you want. He'll come back to you and say, on the website, it's this amount of money, and I'll offer it to you for this amount of money. He's beating the prices, his own prices, for anybody that's in my channel.
Oh, wow. Here it is.
I don't get anything from this. He's offered to give me kickbacks, and I said, I don't want anything. I want the discount to go to my members. So send him a note. This is the guy I buy my bolivars from. If you want to leave me a tip, call him up and order a bolivar for me. I'm kidding, but I'm not. But this is how all of my crew has bought bolivar. Now, let me go look on their site, because I think this guy, let me show you who I use for Zim. I use Leftover Bagels for Zim. And this guy is super nice. He's literally overnight. I mean, not overnight, but he gets it out the next day. So he's really good. But Banknote World can be too pricey on some currencies. They are really good. Somebody's got an echo. Can you turn off your mic, please? Bevcake, you mute your mic so we don't echo.
I'm sorry.
No problem. I'm just letting you know. Let me look on the Zim notes for Banknote World. The Zim notes for Banknote World. Oh my God. Do not order the Zim from Banknote World. They're too expensive. Okay. Let me go to Dong and see what Dong is. Dong. Vietnam Dong. And come on, load. The Vietnam Dong, the scroll down. Let me make sure I get, you want to order non-graded. You don't want graded. It doesn't matter. Non-graded is what you want. The Dong, oh my God, the Dong is a great price for, the Dong is a great price for Banknote World. So I would order my Dong from Banknote World. This is, so what you do is the same thing. You go and you see what notes you want, and then you go text Craig what you want. What I do is I buy the smaller Dongs, the 10,000 Dong. They're $1.24. So that's less money than a 50,000 dong at $30. It's way less. So you do the numbers to figure out what bill gives you the most at the lowest price. But yeah, the dong is a great price at $1.24. Thanks, T-Joy. I really wish you were selling, T-Joy. You're such a badass girlie. She's on the channel right now, folks. She was an amazing currency seller, and she is shut down right now. And man, I wish we had her, because she was kicking ass with the prices. Dong, I would buy from Banknote World. Dinar, I wouldn't buy dinar anywhere, because dinar right now is NAR. Let's look at dinar on Banknote World. Dinar on Banknote World is way too high, folks. So the dong and the the Exchange of America. Yeah. Oh, she's posting the Exchange of America. I don't have any. T-Joy, I've never used them. Do you want to speak about them?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. Can you tell people? Because I don't know about them.
That is the only place in the last 2 years that I have bought my dong from, because it's $73 usually. It changed a little bit, but it's mainly $73. There's shipping. There's a shipping fee, and then they have like a maintenance fee. So you can get it for usually under about $90 to $100 total. And then just depending on how many million you want. But that is the least expensive price that I have found anywhere for the dong. And it always comes FedEx, and it's always been on time, and it shows up in my door within 2 days, sometimes a day and a half. So that's where and actually, I originally had bought some dinar from there too in the very beginning, but the dong is definitely the biggest bang for the buck.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else have some questions? Thank you very much. We're done. We're done. We're done. Yay. No more questions. Okay, folks.
I do have one question.
Sure, Cesar.
Oh, thank you very much for the information. I appreciate it. You know, I live in Ecuador. I am from Quito, Ecuador. Do you know?
Oh my God, this is amazing. You're the first person I ever spoke to from Ecuador. How cool is this? I'm so glad to meet you.
Oh, thank you very much. I am too. And you know how the process is going to work in other countries, like in South American countries?
Unfortunately, I do not know. I wish I had more information for you, but I do not know. I apologize.
Oh, thank you very much. Anyway.
Good luck out there. Thank you so much for listening. I have goosebumps. I always forget that this is an international medium. And then when somebody gets on here from another country, I'm just completely Twitterpated. This is the coolest thing ever. So those of you from the other countries, God bless you and thank you for being here. Does anybody have any other questions? All right, folks, I'm going to end this chat. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for the men and women that have been on this chat tonight and are about to put on that massive, heavy cape of responsibility called the humanitarian. God bless you all, folks. You're doing God's work. Amen. That's it, folks. Thank you very much. And I've